across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
Evening, dear listener. Yes, I'm back. Dot Wiggins from the Shags is going to start the show. You can still give me a call, though. 0844 499 1000. We call you back. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I know. When was the last time you heard the Shags on the radio? Probably last week, if you were listening to this show, as we tend to play them quite a lot. The Shags are one of the most remarkably strange bands in the history of rock, which is a pretty strange history in itself. I am more than thrilled to have one of the Shags on the show right now. It's Dot Wiggin all the way from the United States. Good evening, Dot.
Good evening.
Dot, it's so nice to talk to you. Thank you so much. That album was recorded, when was it, 1968, 69?
Yeah, somewhere between those 2 years, I'm not sure which. Probably towards the end of 68, beginning of 69.
It's very rare for an album that's kind of, 48 years old to still be getting so much attention. Are you surprised that people are still talking about that record?
I am very surprised. I'm amazed.
How did it come about? Because the Shags, you and your sisters, it was an unusual way of forming a band, wasn't it? What happened?
My father decided he wanted us to be in a band. His mother had read his fortune when he was younger and said he was going to marry a strawberry blonde and have daughters, and they're going to be in an all-girls band. So he took it to heart, and as we got older and old enough, he took it upon himself to make it happen.
And how did you, so it was you and your sisters. Were you playing guitar, Dot?
I was playing rhythm guitar, yes.
Okay. And how did you write...
I was playing lead guitar. My sister Betty was playing rhythm.
Great. There we go. Thank you. And how did you come about to write the songs?
Good question. After we had singing lessons and then guitar lessons, I just started coming up with the lyrics. And as I was writing the lyrics, I already had the tune in my head. So.
Yeah.
And then I wrote the music.
Are you all right? What's going on in the background, Dot?
That's my son playing his video game.
Ow!
I need to go. Let me go shut the door.
What's he? Do you know what he's playing, Dot?
I'm not sure, but I can ask him.
Go and ask him what he's playing, because I was playing
before
some game.
Before I shut the door.
Yeah, go and ask him.
He gets pretty loud. Well, what game are you playing? What game are you playing?
Why?
Why not? Is it the new one you just got? The state. I don't know. The state something.
Oh, okay. All right. It sounds a bit complicated. Well, good for him. That you're good.
Wait a minute. State of decay.
The state of decay. Okay. Your kids surprised that people want to talk to their mum about her rock past?
Yes, especially my younger son, Matthew. He's always liked our music and has it on his, downloaded on his laptop, I guess.
Yeah.
On his phone, maybe. But yeah, he's surprised, too.
So you wrote the songs, and I think I've been telling the story wrong, because I was always telling the story that you girls weren't allowed to listen to rock music, but that's not true, is it?
No, we could listen to music. We weren't allowed to go to any concerts. My father was very strict.
Yeah. It's a strange thing, isn't it? Your dad was so strict that he wouldn't let you go to concerts, but he was following this premonition from a psychic that you were going to be famous, a famous rock band.
That is true.
Well, it did come true. You were in a famous rock, cited by Frank Zappa as one of his favourites.
Yes, I read that.
So you
hard to believe.
Well, I don't know if it is hard to believe, because there's a wonderful charm about your record. You know, there's a naivety about it. How old were you, Doc, when you went in and recorded the album?
Probably about 20.
20 years old. And were you the main songwriter? Did you write all of them, or was it a collaborative process?
I wrote all of them but one. My sister Betty wrote one song. Yeah. But it's not on the album. It was after.
Okay. And you rehearsed at home, did you?
Yes. We did take lessons at, guitar lessons at Manchester Music Mart with Ted Herbert, and we had voice lessons from a private woman in Manchester also.
Yeah. And did the neighbours complain? Did you? Because I was in a band when I was younger, and my mum was constantly getting phone calls and knocks on the door from neighbours saying, "Will you tell him to shut up?" Were your neighbours quite good?
No, we never did get any complaints.
Well, there you go. You see, that's fantastic. And then you went and recorded. Your dad paid for you to go and record the album.
Yes.
That must have been quite nerve-wracking, because often when bands go and record their first record, there's a sense of trepidation and, they're a bit terrified. Were you girls nervous?
Yes, I'm sure we were.
How did it go? What do you remember from the sessions?
We probably recorded different than most bands did. We had headphones on and listened to our music as we recorded it, the way I remember it, anyway.
Yeah. I'm going to play. Listen, Dot, stay there, because I'm going to play, if you don't mind. I'm going to play one of the songs. Now, the album is Philosophy of the World. Came out 68, 69, something like that. Let me just play a little bit from one of the songs. Here we go.
There are many things I wonder. There are many things I don't. It seems as though the things I wonder most are the things I never find out. I wonder about the stars above. I wonder about the birds that fly. I wonder about your love. But most of all, I wonder why you make me cry. I wonder, I wonder, I wonder why we have to say goodbye.
You're listening to The Shags, dear listener, and that's the song Things I Wonder. What do you remember about that song, Dot?
Basically just coming up with the lyrics and writing it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what I was wondering about, except for what it says. Life, I guess.
When you were recording the album, and your dad had spoken to this psychic who had predicted you were going to be a world-famous rock band, and eventually it came true. But when you were recording the album, what did you think would happen? What did you girls... Did you go home and fantasise about playing big stadiums and being on TV? Or were you just doing it just to please your dad?
I don't think we expected it to go and go play on big stadiums and be big. We did it because it was our father's dream. I think he probably thought that. I was hoping that.
And there was a little bit of the shenanigans, and weren't there 1,000 copies pressed, and they all kind of got disappeared or something?
There was 1,000 pressed, and we only received 100.
Oh man!
And the rest disappeared. Yes.
And what happened after that? So the album, you recorded the album, and loads of copies got nicked. But the band kept going for a while, didn't it? What did you do after that?
Mostly we played at the Fremont Town Hall, a dance every Saturday night for all kids of all ages.
Yeah.
Kids, parents, whoever wanted to go.
And the kids were digging it, were they?
The ones that went were, we got a lot of negative response. Well, my sister Rachel, who was 6 years younger than is 6 years younger than I am, and she went to public high school on the bus, so she got a lot of negative responses that we didn't hear because we didn't we were home.
What kind of stuff were they saying to her?
They didn't like it, that we didn't know what we were doing, and pretty much what we read a lot on years ago on the internet.
It is an unusual record, you know that, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
Didn't know it then, but I know it now.
Yeah, but it fits in nicely with that whole kind of late 60s. I just read a book about Tiny Tim, and I just listened for the first time to his first album, God Bless Tiny Tim. And that's an unusual record, and it doesn't fit in with anything else that's going on, but it's still a beautiful record. And I think the same with the Shags. I don't know if I'd use the word beautiful, but it's completely unique, and it's marvellous. You know, there is a sense of joy on that album,
mm-hmm.
on your record. Do you know what I mean, Dot?
Not sure.
You're not sure? No. I guess what I'm trying to say is yours is a tough record to categorise, but it's a good record.
Yes, that's what everybody seems to think.
It's garnered a lot of respect throughout the time. Now, they're re-releasing, because the original copy... Boy, guys, if you find an original copy of Philosophy of the World on vinyl, you are sitting on a gold mine. Them things is worth a fortune. They're re-releasing it on vinyl, I think, this autumn. How does that work, Dot? Do you kind of have any input in that, or does a record company own it? How does that work?
The record company owns it. We get a percent of royalties, and we okay like what pictures they're putting on it and things like that. And they get a video to go with it, and we okayed that too. So we have some say in the matter, but it's the record company that does most of it.
What are you up to now, Dot? I know that you've got you do solo stuff, and I'm going to play Banana Bike in a second, which is a cracking song, man. It's a brilliant song. But do you play concerts? Do you do shows? Do you go and
we have played them. Actually, they're doing a tribute to the Shags' new Philosophy of the World in New York next month, September 9th, I think it is. I'm not going. I've got too much going on at home. I can't get away.
Yeah.
But we're hoping to get some tours in New Hampshire, maybe in October, for New Hampshire, maybe Boston or Mass and Maine.
Yeah.
Those I can go because they're day trips. I just have two rescue dogs that are, one's diabetic and needs 3 insulin shots a day, and he's partially blind, and then I have a 7-year-old that is completely blind.
Those,
so they need a lot of.
Well, I've got a dog who's 13 months old, and she's completely fit and fine. But man alive, those dogs is hard work.
They are. They're a lot of responsibility.
They're a lot. Here's the thing, Doc. I'm more of a cat person, and I've got a cat. This old cat who's 17 now. I've had her for 15 years. And she's great because she just kind of sits on the bed with me and she goes off and she disappears for a couple of days and she comes back and, I've just been out. I'm going to go out again. And the dog, though, man, the dog, it's constant. Come on, let's do stuff. Let's hang out. Come on.
Yeah, they are a lot easier to take care of.
Yeah, I'm getting that dog was a big mistake. You might have another rescue dog soon. I'm joking. I'm joking. My family would kill me if I got rid of that.
I bet. What's your dog?
She's a little Westie. I nearly brought her in tonight, a West Highland Terrier. I nearly brought her in tonight, and I'm going to bring her in on Wednesday. I might bring her in on Wednesday, unless we've got Dean. We might have Dean from Jan and Dean on the show on Wednesday. How cool would that be?
Nice.
Yeah, nice. You see?
My two are pugs.
Okay. The pugs are they're an unusual. I see pugs walking around a lot, and they're an unusual kind of looking dog. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you. Your album really is unique. And there aren't many things in this world that are unique. So, I'm sure you're very proud of it, but it is a wonderful piece of art that you created with that record 48 years ago. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to play a little
bit. It was nice talking to you.
Oh, hey, listen, man, it's so nice talking to you. You can come on anytime you want. I'm going to play a little bit of Banana Bike now. Thank you so much, Dot.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, no. There you go, you see. Let's discuss it after this.
Late Night Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, no. 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number. I have a week off. Ed, can you turn her mic on, please? I have a week off. Mm-hmm. And whenever you have a week off in radio, 2 weeks is the killer. But whenever you have a week off in radio, coming back is always a little bit tricky. When James O'Brien has a 2 weeks off holiday, his shows are quite boring for a week or so. And my friend Scott always does this thing, like about six or seven shows back from his return, he'll put James is back in the room. It means he's back up to speed again.
Right.
And it's a weird phenomenon. It happens.
It's a bit like when you come back from school and you have forgotten how to hold your pencil.
Yeah, exactly. It's that kind of thing. So coming back after a week away, and it's been a very strange week. You know, we did a show up in Edinburgh and... then we did the film ring last night, which we'll talk about in a bit. And I did a TV thing. So my brain's all over the place anyway. And the family are still away. And, you know, so I'm kind of all over the place. But then to come back and do an interview like that, a part of me thinking, is that me? One of the things, whenever you go to one of these stupid courses on how to interview people, oh, God. But you're kind of forced to in this industry. They always say, don't ask closed questions. So by that, they mean questions that the answer is yes or no. Now, I don't think there's a problem with asking closed questions because very rarely, unless you've got, unless you've got someone obnoxious, people don't answer yes or no.
Well, unless it's a child, children tend to answer
yes or no. I know what you mean. But sometimes a closed question is great because it gets you to, you can, by using yes, no questions, you can get to a point that you want to get to as an interviewer. But Dot was not one of the most talkative guests I've ever interviewed, and that is fine, and it's not, I'm not in any way having a go at her because she's brilliant and I love the Shags and I love what they stand for and I love that album, and you sorted her out, so brilliant, I'm so pleased we had her. But I was aware that she wasn't being very talkative, and then I was aware halfway through every question, I was thinking, oh no, this is a yes no question I'm asking. Oh no, this one's a yes no. Oh no, now I'm doing another yes no question and I'm getting nowhere.
Yes.
But it's one of the Shags, man. It's one of the Shags.
The lead guitar from the Shags.
She likes... Well, I'm glad she remembered that she was the lead
eventually,
guitar.
Eventually, yeah, she did.
Eventually remembered. But... yeah, that was a tough interview.
Here's what I would say.
Go on.
That interview was as deliciously awkward as listening to a Shags track.
Yeah. No, I will...
And you've just got to surrender to it.
I will... I do. I do surrender it. I enjoyed it. I was slightly distracted because Periscope wasn't quite working. We're not going to do Periscope tonight, guys. Sorry, it's not working. So I was slightly distracted by that. But it was hard work. But hard work is good. And I do really... There's a brilliant documentary called The Devil and Daniel Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Daniel Johnson. And it's about... It's kind of... If you've seen the Frank movie, haven't you?
Yes.
Which isn't about Frank Sidebottom. The Frank movie, I think, is based on The Devil and Daniel Johnson, which is one of John Ronson's favourite documentaries as well. There's a lot of similarities in it, right? And Daniel Johnson, I think I've got his name right. Someone will correct me if I've got it wrong. I'm wondering if I got his last name wrong. He's this really prolific songwriter, right, that a lot of people hail as a genius. I don't think he's all that, so I didn't buy into the song stuff. But he is obviously... they say in the thing he's got autism or Asperger's or something like that. And he lives at home with his parents and he just would record just like songs and songs and songs and songs on cassettes and just mail them out. And, a radio station got in touch and said, oh, we've heard you're quite good. Can you just do us a tape of some of your songs? So he just recorded the songs all again and mailed them out. And he would go and do shows and stuff. And it's a brilliant documentary. I'll find it for you. And I would put Dot Wiggin... Wiggin. I would put Dot Wiggin in with Daniel Johnson, in with Frank Sidebottom, in with Wild Man Fisher to a certain extent, although Wild Man Fisher was mentally ill, and I always feel a little bit uncomfortable about the exploitative side of Wild Man Fisher, in with Captain Beefheart. Captain Beefheart, right, is... I don't really know much Captain Beefheart, but he kind of started off as like a sort of bluesy rocker kind of thing in the early 60s. And then he recorded this really famous album called Trout Mask Replica. Great name for an album, right?
No one else is going to pick it.
Trout Mask Replica. What's the song in there? Smiled and Twisted. And so he went from doing conventional songs, right, to... I'll have to have a look in a second. To shacking up with his band in this house in the desert for months and months and months. And he wouldn't let them listen to music. And he came up with his own way of describing music with, like, colours and symbols and stuff like that. And then they would learn these incredibly complex songs that he would write. And he'd rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse it. Now, it's hard work. And I could never quite dig the Trout Mask Replica album. I'm trying to find the song. Hang on a minute. It really is. There's a song that got Smiled and Twisted. Look, there's 28 tracks here. Pick a track. What between 1 and 28?
3.
Track 3 is Dachau Blues. Okay, so we're going to have a...
Dachau Blues.
Oh,
hang on a second.
Is it going to be an advert?
Oh, well, how can they... No, guys, come on. They want to play an advert for...
Outrageous.
Outrageous!
How dare they try and sell us stuff? We're trying to nick things for free.
Here we go. No.
We will pay royalties.
Spam!
Here we go.
Dachau Blues of Poetry. Dachau Blues of Poetry. Dachau Blues, Dachau Blues, those poor Jews still cry.
You see, it's a tough listen. Let me pick one of the popular ones.
Why would I pick that one? Is there a catchy one?
I think that was the single. Let's try this one.
Ants running, black ants crawling, yellow ants screaming, brown ants moaning. All those people longing to be free.
Batman B. Batman B.
You see, I mean... But
wow, that's the sort of thing that would happen if you let my kids in a room with some instruments.
But that took, like, months to record. 0844 499 1000. We really have gone down a musical cul-de-sac this evening. Anyway, I would put, what I'm saying is, I would put Dot in with Beefheart.
Oh,
Beefheart,
yeah.
is Beefheart, one of John Peel's favourites. You know, he's well respected. He turned out records. What was, does anyone know? Can someone tell me what was Beefheart's pop song? He had a pop song, didn't he? Devil and Daniel Johnston. Thank you. Beefheart had like a pop song. He had like a hit with something, and everyone kind of thought, oh, this guy's going to be something. And then he became that.
Wow.
And he went and lived in the desert.
Was there some peyote involved?
There was a lot of peyote involved there, guys. A lot of peyote.
Maybe it would make sense if we was taking that stuff.
Oh, wait, don't take that
stuff. Don't take that stuff.
Don't
bad for you.
Don't take that stuff, man. Although, you know, the psychedelic experience can be a connection with the greater consciousness of God and the universe.
But don't take that stuff.
So I've been told. 0844 499 1000. Philip and Tris, stay there!
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. It's Philip in South Norwood.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Philip.
I've got three things I'd like to speak to you about.
I'll be the judge of that.
Well, kicking off, Dean Torrance. Fantastic.
Hopefully.
Oh,
hopefully
yes.
On Wednesday. He's definitely coming on. He's definitely...
Oh, do you know what? I'm often one of the biggest fans. I mean, Ride the Wild Surf is one of the greatest.
Ride the Wild Surf.
Yes.
Ride the Wild... In fact, hang on a second. Let me... We need, after all of that stuff, we need to cleanse our palates. Oh, hang on. Here we go. This is a song. This is a prophetic song from Jan and Dean. Hang on. Have a listen to this. Have a listen to this, Philip. Let's cleanse our palates slightly after the... here we go. Shh, this is Jan and Dean. Hopefully, this Wednesday, fingers crossed, Dean from Jan and Dean is going to come on the show. Absolute surfing. Here we go. It's a song called Dead Man's Curve.
Oh, right, yeah, right. I've heard of this one.
Right. Now, Jan was severely disabled in a car crash at Dead Man's Curve. Yeah. And after that, he was in a coma for months. Everyone thought he was going to die, right? He came back and his left side is paralysed. But they kind of reformed in the 70s and 80s and did some concerts. I've seen videos of it. I always find it an uncomfortable watch because Jan can't speak properly. He would have to relearn the songs on the tour bus to the next gig.
Oh, wow.
Every single time. But listen to the lyrics of this. Hang on, listen to this. A stingray, like in the song. Here we go.
Last thing I remember, Doc, I started to swerve, and then I saw the jag slide into the curve.
Remember, this actually happened to him about 18 months after this.
I know I'll never forget that horrible sight. I guess I found out for myself that everyone was right.
You won't come back from the next curve.
Whoa. don't come back from Dead Man's Curve.
Blimey.
It's chilling. That's actually chilling. That's actually chilling, Philip.
It is. It's great. I mean, when I first heard them, I mean, as I say, I think I've got every one of their records. Little Old Lady from Pasadena.
Have you got the Batman album?
Yeah. Oh, all, I love the Batman.
The whole thing. The interview with him is going to be about the Batman album.
Oh,
I love
wow.
it. That's all I'm going to talk about. Batman album.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Do you know the biggest selling song?
Yeah.
That Dean Torrance sang on.
Well. Oh, that's, I tell you, I don't know.
You
no.
don't know the biggest selling song that Dean Torrance sang on? He sang on one of the biggest hits of all time. He sang the lead vocals on one of the biggest hits of all time.
You stumped me, Ian, I
yeah?
don't know.
Oh, well, then, Philip, allow me to...
Yes, tell me.
Here we go. This is Dean Torrance sings this. The Beach Boys, oh. but that's Dean Torrance singing the high bit.
Oh, well, do you know there was a film, Ian, about Jan and Dean?
Yeah, Dead Man's Curve, the movie, yeah.
Richard Hatch and Bruce Davidson. Yeah, it was, oh, man, I'm going to really look forward to Wednesday.
Oh, I'm going to have my belt loosened when Dean's on.
Oh,
no,
Ian,
no, it's all to be nice and comfortable. Not for anything like that, Catherine. It's not like I'm watching a Disney film or something.
Ian,
yes.
You just said you went up to Edinburgh, did you?
What's it to you? Are you the taxman?
The reason I ask is that a play that I saw in Epsom went to Edinburgh and became a smash.
Oh.
Have you ever seen the play that was up there? It's called A Day in the Lives of Frankie Abbott.
Of course, you know I've not seen that.
Well, it was up on the Edinburgh Fringe.
Oh, well, so is everything. When Kath and I were up at the Fringe, right, and we wanted to see a show at midday, right?
Yeah.
So we logged on to the Fringe website and typed in, we want to see a show at midday.
Yeah.
156 shows started at midday!
Oh, my God. This particular play, Ian, is, do you remember, I think you're probably too young, do you remember the sitcom Please Sir?
Yes, of course I do, John Alderson.
It's the story, it's written by David Barry, who played Frankie Abbott.
Yes.
And it's the story of what he is doing today.
Oh.
And he is in an old people's home, and he's not very well.
Oh.
And he's looking back over his life. It's
looking
brilliant.
Back over it's, my shoulders.
It's truly a brilliant play.
Well. So,
the other third thing I wanted to mention, you mentioned you got a Westie.
Yeah.
Well, this Sunday at Epsom.
Oh, God, here we go. This isn't BBC. No, we're not Joe Good. This is not BBC London.
Listen,
and I don't like dogs.
You just mentioned you got one.
Doesn't mean I like it. Biggest mistake I ever made having that.
Unless your next sentence is, this Sunday at Epsom, we're trading in dogs for records.
No, it's the Terrier Derby.
Oh, well, he's not.
It's the Terrier Derby.
Thanks for calling. I don't like dogs. And should we go there? We're going to go there. She's in season. Oh. She's like a bitch on heat.
Well.
Literally. She is a bitch on heat.
You have to keep her in, don't you?
Well, I have to keep her on the lead. I made the terrible mistake of taking her for a walk. Off. By the way, Jules, you have to call back. Well, for some reason, we can't call you. 08444991000.
I bet you don't accept anonymous phone calls.
I do.
No.
Oh, Jules. I took her for a walk off lead and, oh, God, she was, as I say, like, because she is a bitch on heat. We've not had her done yet, and you can't get her done until 3 months after a season, so we'll have to get her done in November. Just means that every morning there's a bit to clean up, you know?
Oh, stop it!
No, but it's true! And they don't tell you this with dogs!
You not get nappies? You can get nappies.
Yeah, you can, and
You can,
but I'm not going to...
I went to see this breeder of Bichon Frise once.
Oh, yeah.
And they were all wearing nappies and running around.
Yeah. I think you can't put... You can't put nappies on. You can't give baby balls.
You can. It'd be hilarious.
Can't put nappy on a dog.
Did you see that? Well, you did see that clip. You were the one that showed it to me on the telly of the cockerel wearing a pair of blue trousers.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get that clip. I sold it well, but I didn't get it. I was on telly at the weekend.
I know.
I was all right, wasn't I?
Yeah.
I was actually quite good. No one got my Terminator joke.
Well.
Did a Terminator. It was very funny, I thought. Freestyling, I was. It was weird being on the telly after not being on the telly for a long time. I sort of. Trish, I'll come to you in a second.
Did they put makeup on you?
Yeah, of course they did.
Did they do anything to your beard?
No, they didn't do anything. But I'd had it trimmed the week before. Yeah. Jimmy trimmed it for me. No, they put a bit of makeup on.
Do they do blusher?
I don't know. They just put a bit of foundation on, a bit of powder, and just to get rid of the bags under the eyes. Mm-hmm. Had a spot there. Didn't have the spot the weekend, actually. But they and
mascara.
And no, they just put just to stop you sweating mainly and make you look good. And I look good. Took 5 years off me that makeup. So did that. Gabby Roslin's delightful. Jay McDonald is delightful. David Emmanuel is delightful. Jay from The Wanted is delightful.
It was a delightful show.
It was a delightful, delightful show. That's how I roll these days. 0844 499 1000.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Jules!
Hello, mate. How you doing?
I'm all right, Jules. What you got for us, boss?
Well, running up the first time was like last week, I think. Or not last week, the week before.
Enjoying your fag there, Jules?
How do you know that?
I'm a clever man. I'm a wise man. It's not even clever, it's wise.
Yeah.
Enjoying your fag?
I've only started smoking again and all. I've been on the old vape stuff, you know what I mean?
Vaping means everyone quits smoking, does it, vapists? They've not been out long enough for the evidence to be in. Why are you back on the fags, Jules?
Somebody who I'm close to has started smoking again, and I've just started smoking again. I'm going to get off it soon. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, best of luck because it's a tough one to get off.
Yeah, it is. No. I spoke to the week before you had the holiday off and that.
Oh, yeah.
About films that you couldn't really, like, remake and about Some Comfort. Did you actually get round to watching that or
oh,
not?
No. I didn't.
You didn't, no.
No, I didn't. I tell you for why. It's because A, I was a bit busy. B, I got suckered in, right? And I started watching that. Every time I meet someone I've not seen for ages, they go, oh, have you seen Stranger Things? Oh, you got to see it. It's brilliant. Oh, it's blinding. Oh, you've got to see Stranger Things. I won't tell you anything about it, right?
I've never heard of it before, to be fair.
Well, everybody's banging on about it, and they say, I won't tell you anything about it, right? But it's like The Goonies meets E.T., and it's got a psychic girl in it, but I won't tell you anything about it. Well,
Is it on Netflix or something?
It's on Netflix, right? It's a Netflix series. And I'll tell you what it is. It is The Emperor's New Clothes.
Right.
It looks good, and you think it's good, but then when you actually think about it, you go, oh, no, they're pushing buttons and pulling emotional strings. It's not as good. It's style over substance, Jules. It's style.
Right,
Jules.
I won't give it a look. Sorry.
We've dumped it. But, Jules, how could you have let out a casual F-bomb there? What the hell was going on? I want to pursue this because this is interesting. You can't self-censor enough that you couldn't not say the F word then.
No, I'm very, very sorry about that, man.
No, I'm not telling you off. I'm just curious as how to someone could have such a bad swear filter.
Because I work industrial. I'm a joiner. And,
so what? Have you never been around children?
Yeah, I've got two kids, man.
Flipping heck. You speak like that in front of them?
No, dude, God, no. I've never sworn in front of my mum.
But you've just sworn in front of literally 3,000 people. I mean, 35,000 people.
It may have to do with a couple of, like, drinks of wine.
There we go. Defences are down. The defences are down. You will be sorry.
But anyway, yes. The other thing I was going to ask you...
Yes?
...was one of the most funniest... things I've heard for a long while is when Darren rang up the other week about the church.
Oh, yeah, and I thought he was another Darren.
Oh, mate, it's so funny. When he turns around and says, it smells like me, that just absolutely
I don't remember a lot of the shows.
I remember talking to him like that.
Sorry?
You don't remember talking to him like that. You're
sentence.
Proper good, but he went, it sounds like you, but he went, it smells like me, and that just cracked me up.
I do not remember that exact exchange.
You don't?
No, no.
It was funny as hell.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It was. The other thing was, like, what is this film ring thing about? Because I've only just, like, been asking, like I said last time, about a month. So what's the film ring thing?
You just missed it, man. It was last night.
I know, but I don't know what it is. You know what I mean?
Flipping it. Turn your radio off, man.
It's totally off, wasn't it? That's on my phone. Wait a minute.
Well, it's not totally off, is it? Because I can hear it.
Yeah, wait a minute. Oh, I turned it off.
That's louder. That's literally the opposite of what I asked for.
I'll turn this thing off, wait a
minute. Here, Jules, I'll help you turn it off. Hang on, I can do it from here. There we go. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. What was that about? Periscope's not working, so we're trying to stream this on. If you go to facebook.com/ Ian Lee, IAINLEE, you can watch it on there. But I need to send Catherine down to my car in a minute to get my lead. Although I took the lead out of my car, I remember taking the lead out of my car. I've got no idea. I've lost my pass to get in here. I've lost me. Me lead to charge me phone up. I'm sure, Tris, I am sure I took the lead out of the car, but now I don't know where it is.
I don't know, mate. Sorry, I haven't seen it.
Could you go down to my car?
By the way, I'm out of practice for the week.
I'm out of practice. Let me give Catherine my car keys. She's going to go down to the car and see where it is. You know, give me a few days to get up to speed, guys. That's. My white little lead that will charge, it should be in the front of the car somewhere. Charging your phone. Yes, please. Thank you. Thank you, caller. Yes, Tris, what you got for us, boss?
I was left a little bit cold by Dot from the show, because I've been really looking forward to that for a long time. And she seemed, I don't know, guarded, would you say?
I wouldn't say guarded, no. I would say... not media savvy, and that's not a negative thing. In fairness to her, I'd forgotten we were doing her tonight, and just as we were coming in, Kath reminded me, so I was a little bit unprepared. I was less prepared than I would like to have been, so that I could have made things slightly easier. But no, I enjoyed the. I enjoyed her complete lack of media awareness, actually.
Yeah, I've read a lot more about the Shags than
she has
to sort of bear out. because I'm sure I've read John Ronson interviewing Betty maybe.
Yeah.
And he seemed to touch a lot more on like the abuse aspect and stuff like that. And
yeah.
She seemed to, I mean, maybe she doesn't want to talk about it, you know. It's not...
Yeah, or maybe she doesn't want to talk about it, or maybe I didn't ask the right questions, or, you know, that's the joy. Oh, look, I don't think Facebook is going to work. I don't think Facebook is going to work because it takes up more bandwidth, you see. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to knock the idea of the video on the head tonight, I think.
Do some radio.
Just do some proper radio. We're just going to do radio, guys. We're just going to do. Hey, speaking of radio, right? Did you listen to Howard Hughes last night?
Yeah. When I was driving home from Film Ring, that got a bit tense.
Were you at Film Ring?
You know, I was sat on your table.
But you didn't say.
I was sat next to Kath. Yeah. We were talking at the end.
But you didn't say that you were Tris.
Oh, I thought you knew. Kath was calling me Tris.
I didn't hear her. I didn't know that was you.
Yeah, that was me, mate.
Oh, mate, I didn't know. And I didn't hear her calling you Tris. And I was so caught. I had so many. Oh, man. I didn't know that was you, buddy.
Oh, that's all right. No worries.
No, I'm really sorry. I didn't hear her calling you Tris. And I had so many people coming up to me whose Voices I recognise from here, whose faces I recognise from Twitter, and some of them assumed that I knew who they were, and some of them kind of assumed that I didn't know who they were. And it was all a bit overwhelming and in my face. And there were loads of people there. I know there's some people there that I've worked with that I didn't acknowledge properly. And I came away feeling terrible. Now I feel terrible that I didn't know it was you, Tris.
Oh, that's all right. Don't worry about it.
I didn't recognise your voice or anything, man. I'm really sorry.
I wasn't putting my radio voice on, clearly, was I?
Oh, mate, I'm really sorry, because we did have a little chat, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. No worries. I still had a great time.
I didn't know it was you, and you sent me a really nice email the other day as well, and I wanted to thank you for that. Well, I'm thanking you now for it. There you go.
That's all right, mate. No worries.
So, for those who don't know, we did film Ring last night. We over 100 people turned up to watch The Stalker and the Hero, starring Kung Fu Elliot, right? Edited down, because I had to cut half an hour out. And also, we had some deleted scenes from the Kung Fu Elliot documentary. And we had an interview with Jarrett via Skype, one of the directors of the film. And for those who didn't come, you missed. Not only did we have Blake from the Kung Fu Elliot film on the phone, we also had Kung Fu Elliot Scott himself on the phone talking to us. And boy, oh boy, wasn't that weird, Tris?
Oh, mate, wasn't it? He's subverting the Canadian kung fu film industry, isn't he?
If you missed it, guys, we actually had Elliot on the phone. I managed to get his phone number on Friday. Well, not his phone number, because I still don't have his phone number, but I found a way of communicating with him on Friday, and I got him to come and be part of the show last night, and it was a real lovely surprise. No one knew he was going to come on, and he blew everybody's mind. He claims that the Kung Fu Elliot documentary is like Spinal Tap. Then when we put that to Jarrett, he just burst into laughter and said, well, OK, you believe that if you want. I am, after all the research I've done, Tristan, I've done a lot of research for this now, way too much for anyone. And having spoken to Blake a couple of times, I am convinced that Kung Fu Elliot is 100% genuine.
Well, we were chatting in the bar last night about how I thought maybe it was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but the second I saw Jared on Skype, the way he was cracking up every time you were sort of relaying a story, that for me cemented it.
Yeah, completely. I'm convinced it's a real... I can't wait for that DVD to come out with the commentary by all of them. I mean, that's going to be
good.
It's going to be a joy. But, well, thank you for coming, Tristan. Thank you, everyone who came. We're going to do... No, that's not it. Oh, balls. That means it's fallen out of my pocket again. Arse. Oh, sugar. All right. Oh, man, that's another lead I've lost. Oh, man. All right, never mind. So thank you to everybody who came. It was great to have you there. But on the way back, and we're going to play it after 11, because we've got the clip. On the way back, I was listening to The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. And it was this really boring man on there talking about Amelia, what was her name? Amelia Earhart.
Amelia Earhart. Yeah.
Right. Who's like this woman pilot from the late 30s, right? And she crashed into the sea trying to circumnavigate the world, right? Except this guy has got not a theory, it's facts that he knows that she didn't crash land, that instead she landed in Japan. And she lived there until the Second World War, where she got killed. And Howard Hughes, fair play. And I know this for a fact, because I phoned up to congratulate Howard on excellent radio. And I spoke to Emma, the producer. That bloke was supposed to be on for an hour, right? And what Howard was doing, because he's a professional broadcaster, is he was stretching out a very paper-thin story that was 15 minutes worth at tops. He was stretching that out for an hour by gently guiding the narrative and not going to the punchline too early. Because once you've got the punchline, well, she was alive in Japan and I've got this and this evidence, that's the end of the story. There's nowhere to go. So he was gently teasing it out, right? And the fella went bonkers at him, didn't he?
He was complaining he only had, like, 45 minutes.
Yeah, and he was complaining there were adverts. Yeah, he said, have we got adverts? Yeah, there's going to be some. Oh, man. And he, so from kickoff, he was in. He had a cob on, and I thought, oh, this could go either way, and it went either way.
You know, I had such a long day yesterday because I left for work at 7 in the morning before driving up to you.
Yeah,
and I was pretty tired by that point, but that certainly kept me awake and kept me going. It was brilliant.
When we come back after 11, we're going to play it because it is just uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable. Yeah. The thing is, in a different way, the Dot Wiggins interview was uncomfortable, right? When do you get uncomfortable on radio? You don't, because it's all so safe and so micromanaged. And, fair play to Howard. I would have cut that bloke off. But then you would have missed a lot more of the uncomfortableness of it.
No, you wouldn't. You'd have kept teasing out of him, wouldn't you?
I would have told him to. No, because I was in the car saying, just tell him to F off. I was shouting at the radio. Tell him to F off, Howard. I'd have cut him off when he started questioning my style of interviewing. I'd have cut the twit off.
Yeah, it was good radio, though, wasn't it? Very, very, very quickly, I know you're short on time.
You've got 30 seconds, because I've been banging
Captain
on.
Captain Beefheart,
yeah.
People always go to Trout Mask Replica first and get scared off of him.
Yeah.
If you go back a bit,
he
put out some of the... Safe as Milk, yeah, one of the best psych albums going, isn't it?
Well, do you know, I've got it. Because I went into a record shop that was being run by a friend of a friend, and I felt obliged to buy a record. So I spent £10 on Safe as Milk. I've never played it. I doubt I ever will.
Oh, it's up there with the Electric Prunes and bands like that. Give it a spin.
08, Wilson, we'll speak to you after the news. 08444991000. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Evening, this is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. We're kind of gently easing our way back into things. 08444991000 is the telephone number. We call you back. Wilson, Alan, stay there. And after the news, we'll play you that incredible clip from Howard Hughes last night.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When you adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I wanna settle down. Until tomorrow the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Waiting to unfold a brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there, we've paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, sky. Maybe tomorrow I'll find what I call home. Until tomorrow, you know I'm free to roam.
Oh. Yes, Wilson.
Hello.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Hey, Ian. How are you?
You know.
All right. My dad went yesterday to that
movie thing. I saw your dad, yes.
Did he tell you about my ankle?
Yes, he said you broke your ankle.
And did he tell you where we're going in, well, nearly one day's time?
No, he didn't tell me where you're going in nearly
We're going to Florida.
Well, there you go. That sounds awesome.
I have a few things that I want to do.
Yes.
One of them is, and by the way, for those few things, it's free. Free things. Ian?
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to talk.
The three things. The first one is, can I give a shout-out to my YouTube channel, please?
No, well, hang on, what is it? Hang on a second, right. Where have we got into this habit, right, of... No, we don't give a shout-out for crying out loud.
Aww.
What do you think, I'm Ken Bruce or something? And this stops now, and you're not the first. I'm not having a go at you, but you're not the first person to do this tonight.
Oh, thank you.
People phoning up with lists. I've got 3 points I want to make. No. We don't do that because you know. I'm not having a go at you. I'm having a go at everyone that does this. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't phone in with I've got 3 points I want to make because you're then setting a stake in the ground as to how much time from the show that people are going to get. And it's just, you don't go and like meet your friends for lunch and go, hey, guys, I've got 3 things I want to talk to you about. First thing, so we're knocking that on the head, guys. I'm not having a go at you, Wilson. I'm having a go at everyone. We're knocking that on the head. The whole list thing, I've got 3 things I want to talk. Forget it, guys.
Yep.
It's gone.
All right. Can I still do a thing where I say my YouTube channel?
Well,
I've currently got 6 subscribers.
Well,
please.
Oh Jesus! Yeah, go on then.
Okay.
The only reason I'm saying yeah, go on then is because you're 10 years old. That's the only reason. No, but that's the only reason, right? If you were 40 years old or 25 or 19 or 62, I'd go, no.
Yeah.
So, you see, it puts me in a slightly uncomfortable, an awkward position. So, yeah.
All right. My YouTube name is...
But I can tell you that only, like, 3 people will go and look at it.
No, please, everyone, please go, like, comment.
But they won't, right? They won't. It's like whenever you get someone on to promote who wants to promote a charity. Can I just mention my GoFundMe? It's for my sister. She's got leukemia, and I'm hoping to raise £2,500 by jumping out of a hot air balloon. Well, okay, but no one listening to the show knows your sister, or with the greatest of respect, cares beyond. That's sad. To go onto their computers and type in the GoFundMe and go, do you know what? I'm going to give them a tenner.
But you don't need to pay for this.
No, I know exactly. But what I'm telling you, Wilson, is, right, and now people will do it because I've made a big thing about it, right?
Thank you, everyone.
Stop it.
Please.
Please stop it.
You're about
to get cut off. Please stop it because you are about to get cut off, right? Here's one of the rules I have on the show. Everyone gets treated the same, whatever age, whatever physical or mental ability, everyone gets treated the same. So you're about to get cut off.
Oh.
Well, no, because I'm making a point and you're not listening to it.
I am. I completely agree with your point.
You don't know what I've not finished the point, so how can you agree with it?
Carry on.
Yeah, you're close, man. The only reason you're staying on is because you're 10. Now I've forgotten what the bloody point was. I'm not going to let you plug your YouTube channel. I'm sorry, man. Everybody gets treated the same. That was harsh, wasn't it? Was it too harsh? Everybody gets treated the same. And he's going to Florida. I'm not going to Florida. Well, do you know what I did last week? Literally, I had a day where I sat at home in my pants watching rubbish Stranger Things eating Domino's. Literally, I did that. And as I was doing it, I thought, flipping heck, man, this really is. I might as well be at work. So, no. It's always an awkward thing. I mean, they don't do it very often. Where people phone up and say, can I mention my GoFundMe, my charity thing, my sponsor? Well, no. Because people aren't going to give you money, and it's just a bit, no. And people want to look at your YouTube channel and stuff like that. Honestly, I don't know. Maybe it was a bit harsh, but that's kind of the mood I'm in. Everyone gets treated the same, so that's kind of the mood I'm in. Right, so last night, Howard Hughes talking to this really boring conspiracy theorist, right, who thinks that Amelia Earhart, who's circumnavigating the world in an airplane in 1936, something like 39, 36, she crashed in the sea, right, and died. This guy thinks that she didn't, and that she landed in Japan and she lived in Japan, I think Taipei, for several years after, right? And it's a flimsy story. The guy from the offset was a little bit up himself. How long have we got? 45 minutes? Have we got adverts? And Howard was really... I love Howard Hughes. I think he's a brilliant broadcaster. If I had, you know, a tenth of the experience that man has had in broadcasting, right? And he was really doing his best to stretch out a paper-thin story. It was Rizzler-thin, like the blue Rizzlers. Not even the green or the red. The blue Rizzler-thin story that would have struggled to have filled a quarter of an hour. Howard was doing his best to stretch this out for a whole 60 minutes, right? And so he's just trying to slow the story down. And his guest got a right cob on. Listen to this.
At one point they can hear her, she cannot hear them, but we get the picture that she's lost and low on fuel. But these last messages picked up by the Itasca may not have been the final ones, because weren't there a couple of radio amateurs, people who, you know, broadcast and transmit between themselves as a hobby, weren't there a couple of radio amateurs who heard something different, heard her later than they did?
Howard, you're not letting me tell this story. You have a story that you want to tell, Howard.
Well, I've been reading your book today.
That's what... tell the story.
I've been reading your book.
Howard, you're not letting me do this properly. Okay, you're keeping your listeners from... Your listeners want to know what happened to Amelia Earhart.
Well, yeah, but we've got to tell the story of how she disappeared and she was being monitored. And then you can come in with...
That's not the story,
all the evidence,
Howard,
that you have.
That's not the story.
All right. Well, you tell me what you look. All right. Look, we've got to do a conversation here, Mike. And if we can't do a conversation
here, Howard, who's the expert on Amelia Earhart? You or me?
Well, you've written a book about it, so you must be.
I've written a book about it, but you're the expert. Is that what it is, Howard?
Mike, you know, I don't want to have a conversation like this. Let's just say that
You really should give me a little more lead here, Howard. I mean, in this country, when I talk to radio people, they let me tell the story.
But we've got to tell a story that is clear for people to understand. That's all I'm trying to do, Mike.
I can do that. I can do that very well, Howard.
I'm waiting.
Now, you going to let me tell the story or not?
I am, but I would appreciate it if you didn't try and tell me my craft on the radio.
Look, Howard, I'm a journalist, too, and I've spent 30 years on this story.
Well, listen, I want to tell the story of your book about Amelia Earhart. If you want to have a debate about how I'm conducting this, we can do that another time and another place, Mike. And I know that you've had difficulties with other people who've interviewed you, but I don't want to be one of those people on that list.
No, I haven't. No, I haven't. Only one. I've only had one difficulty with one other person, Howard, and that one person had an agenda. And I'm starting to wonder whether you have an agenda either.
Well,
the website is EarhartTruth.com for your listeners. EarhartTruth.com, please.
Mike, let me just get one thing absolutely clear here. And, a lot of people know me through the work that I've done. I have no agenda other than to facilitate you to be able to tell your story in a clear and concise manner. I was trying to talk about her disappearance and the mechanics thereof, the official story, and I know that you're itching to tell the story that is in the book, and that's what I want you to do. But we have to say that she disappeared. There are various accounts of how she disappeared. You tell the story from there. How about that?
Okay, Howard.
Wasn't that deliciously uncomfortable? Sorry, I'm sucking on a lollipop that a lady gave me last night. Don't accept sweets from strangers, guys. I'm hoping this has been laced with something. I'm hoping, and something fun, not poisonous. Nothing yet.
quite like lollipops. Wasn't that deliciously uncomfortable? And loads of you were listening because I was tweeting about it. There was one young lady whose name is Ms. Lee. Is it Catherine? I think might be her first name. I can't remember. And she was going, she made such a good point. Howard Hughes is the only person in this country who would let a nut job conspiracy theorist on and tell their story without challenging it too much. And that guy chose to pick a fight with him. That guy chose to pick a fight with him. I love Howard's show. It's funny, right? It's one of those shows where there are bits I find it fascinating and bits I find it a little bit dull. And I was listening to this guy and I thought, I'm not buying it. Like, this story's a little bit dull. But when it kicked off, it was beautiful. And then he had a really good guest on afterward that he'd pre-recorded. It's a cracking show. Sunday nights, 10 o'clock. Fruitcakes, Bullshine and Weirdos. I think, is that the title for it? I think so. I need to check. 0844 499 1000. For those of you asking, this ain't no best of. You think this would be in the best of?
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Yes, Alan.
Hip, 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 sir.
Hip, 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 Alan. How are we doing, boss?
No, brother. How was your week away?
In the end, I didn't go anywhere. We went to Edinburgh last weekend to do the radio show from Sarah Sophie's house, which was a delight. And then I was doing a couple of shows up there. And we did the film Ring yesterday. And Saturday I was doing the Saturday show with Gabby Roslin.
I watched that. It was really good.
Thank you, Alan. You're very kind. It was a lot of fun to do. I really enjoyed it.
Do you miss live TV?
Sorry?
Do you miss live TV?
Here's the thing, Alan, right? I had to go in for a script read-through on the Friday, yeah. And I was sat there, and I was thinking, I don't really want to be here. And they were going through the items for the show, and I was thinking, this isn't me. And I came away, and I texted Kath and said, Kath, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do TV. I don't like TV. I like radio too much. And then when I did it on Saturday, I absolutely loved it. I loved it. I loved talking to the guests. Jane McDonald is the filthiest woman I've met, and she is delightful. I enjoyed talking to David Emmanuel. I enjoyed doing the gadget. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And it made me sad because I haven't done a show like that for about 13 years, right?
Since Rise.
Since Rise, really. And I may not get another chance to do that again for another 13 years. And I came away thinking, oh, I really like this. And I think I'm quite good at it without being arrogant. It's my job. It used to be my job. And I'm quite good at it. And I'd like to do more. And I've not watched it back, but I've seen little vines that people have posted. And I look all right, older, with a beard and with a bit of weight on me. I look all right. And it just made me sad, Alan, because I'd like to do some more of it, and I don't see the opportunity arising.
I think that will be happening.
We'll see.
And you got to work with another brilliant blonde lady.
Oh, Gabby Roslin is the nicest. And some people use the word nice as an insult. She is the most delightful person you could possibly hope to meet. She was the thing about Gabby Roslin, right?
Yeah.
Is, I think we'd met before, but you kind of, when you're sat with her, you kind of feel like you know her and you've known her for years, right? And we were just talking and she picked up on something I said and she asked me a question that was quite a personal question. And normally with someone, you'd go, I'd kind of fudge the answer. But I felt so comfortable with her, I answered her question honestly. And we had this really frank conversation in the makeup chairs about a certain aspect of something. We were just chatting away through it. And I was telling her everything. I was telling Gabby Roslin everything.
I thought you'd be trading stories from your times on Breakfast TV with Gabby on The Big Breakfast and you and Wise.
We didn't. We talked a little bit about those. She was telling me they used to show the banana splits on The Big Breakfast.
Yeah, when they first started.
I didn't know they did that. So we talked a little bit about that. But we talked about Paul Ross.
Yeah.
Because she's really good friends with Paul Ross. So we talked about all of that.
And
talked about that.
Here.
What, sorry?
And he does breakfast here at Talk Radio. Yeah,
does he? Is that where he is now? I wonder.
Yeah.
So we talked about, all of that to do with Paul Ross. And what else did we talk? We just talked about telly. And she said to me, Ian, what's this hip, hip, hip thing that all of your fans keep tweeting me about? I said, keep saying I've got to get you to do hip, hip, hip. And I went, it's nothing. It's just, it's nothing. So ignore that.
So you haven't explained about Prince Charles when he did the
I didn't go into the Prince Charles explanation. I just said it was a way that we greeted people. We greeted each other on the radio show. And she said, oh, you've got such lovely fans on Twitter here. And I said, you don't know the half of it. It was, do you know what, Alan? I absolutely loved it. I loved it. And I'd like to do some more. But I don't know how, I don't know how you get any more.
Oh, and I want to say a personal thank you to you for mentioning me in the article.
Oh, yeah, Alan Caddick, star of The Observer. You're in The Observer. Very quickly, one final thing, Alan. You know, is it recorded in the same studio that we used to record Rise in?
No, I didn't
know that. It was in the same studios. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So there were a few ghosts wandering around. It was in The Observer newspaper. And it was on the Guardian website. But, yes, Alan, you, sir, are in a broadsheet, a highbrow newspaper.
Talking about me mum.
Yeah. You didn't mind me mentioning that, did you?
No, not
good,
at all.
Good. I knew you would.
I had a human moment.
I thought, and I hope your mum was pleased if you've mentioned it to her. I just thought it was a nice, by talking about that, I just thought it was a nice way of demonstrating in a sentence how the show goes from being stupid and silly to having moments where people like you can come on.
Gravitas.
A bit of gravitas. Yeah, there we go, sir. But how people like, you know, how callers, including you, can come on and share stuff that's actually a little bit personal. So thank you. I'm glad you took it in the way that it was.
That's brilliant. And now that you're back, and also thanks for putting me on the best of, especially with me falling
asleep. I'm afraid I really fought tooth and nail to make sure you were not part of the best ofs, yet somehow that memo didn't get through. So in many ways, it was kind of like the meh of. Now it's time for the of Ian Lee. The bits that are a bit
But whose fault was it?
It was Catherine, and she has been severely thrashed.
She has to be Murdoch'd.
Not quite been Murdoch yet. That's happening in Inch, aren't we?
Yeah.
I may have to unblock all of the editorial members of The Sun that I've blocked on Twitter.
Including Calvin McKenzie?
I may have to unblock Mr. McKenzie, sir. Yes, sir. I may have to do that, sir. I've blocked David Dinsmore, who's the editor of The Sun, and Kelvin. So I may have to...
What about Rebecca Brooks?
Yeah, I better check I not blocked her as well. Otherwise, that could be an awkward first meeting. Anyway, Alan, did we get to the meat and two veg? The thing is as well, right, because people might still think that this is a best of, right? This bit is going to be in the next best of, I've just decided, right?
Well, it is 11:25 on a Monday evening.
Yeah. So, well, but the...
I'm proving that it's live.
Well, no, you're not, because supposing...
I was giving a time check.
Yeah, but supposing that this gets put in at 11:25 on a Monday evening best of.
Might be 11:25 on a Tuesday best of.
Well, now you're saying Tuesday, so this could be Tuesday.
Or it could be on a Saturday best of.
Well, it could be on a... Well, it could be. Or it could be on a Friday. This could be This could be part of the best of on Friday, September the 9th, when I'm off.
All right. I thought you might have got Galloway covering all night.
George Galloway can cover my... I'm supposed to be off next... Right, I'm definitely off on Friday, September the 9th, because I'm taking my boys to see the Bare Naked Ladies, right?
Yeah, that's a good gig.
Good gig. But I'm also supposed to be off next Tuesday. 0844-499-1000, by the way. The point I was making is that people may think this is a best-of and they can't call in, but you can call in, so please call in. But I would say that anyway. I'm supposed to be off next Tuesday. I'm supposed to be going to Liverpool.
I've been up there.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be going up there. I've been up there briefly, but I've never really had a look around.
Where about Liverpool are you going?
The Cavern.
Oh, the home of the Beatles.
The home. So it's not the Cavern. It's on the other side of the street because the Cavern got knocked down. But I'm supposed to be going to see one of the Monkees doing a concert at the Cavern. I've got tickets and all of that stuff.
Is it Peter Tork?
No. No. Mickey. Is Mickey?
Mickey Dolenz.
Correct. I don't know if I can bother to go.
I would. I wouldn't miss seeing a monkey.
Yeah, I know. it's just it's a 4 hour drive, and there and then at 40 you obviously have to drive back, you know, and I don't know if I can be bothered. I might just come in and do the show. I don't know if I can be bothered.
Well, I've had an idea. Well, I'll get Kath and Ed to do the show.
Oh.
Ed can run the vote. Kath can present.
Oh, well, the thing is, they're both highly skilled jobs. I don't know if they're capable of...
Well, Kath's been on Periscope last week.
I know, and I watched some of those. Kath could... I don't know what the reasoning is behind having best ofs. I genuinely do. I do. It's to save a few quid, I would imagine. And I said to Catherine that she should offer her services for hosting the show, and she did, and the boss said no, he'd rather play a best of tape. And I've got absolutely no idea why. I think if you've got someone like Catherine who can present the show easily, offering to do
She did the best of Talk Radio.
Yeah, exactly. Offering to do it for free, to turn that down, I just think is ridiculous. And I know why they're doing it. They want to, you know, check online, they want to check stuff and all of that and see if they can save a few quid. I mean, all right, fair enough. But I just think that they should have let her do the show. So it's out of our hands. Speaking out of turn. Yes?
What happened to GHB? Julia Hartley Brewer.
That's JHB.
Sorry.
GHB is a drug.
Sorry, I got confused.
Yeah.
What happened to her? I haven't heard her in the past week.
Well, she's been off. She's had the two mics, I think, filling in for her, isn't she? Isn't she got the two mics filling
in? Yeah, because I had James Whale on today.
Yes, I saw... I had a good chat with James Whale on Saturday, because he was on the Saturday show.
Yeah.
We had a nice chat during the break.
Did he tell you how he hated the Big Brother house?
He told me he absolutely detested the Big Brother house. Yes, he also told me that issues he has with the BBC management, which are very similar issues to the ones that I used to have with BBC management.
But he doesn't work at the BBC, he does an internet station.
No, he works at... He's still contracted to Essex.
But most of his beef, he does an internet show and it gets... Facebook to ask the questions.
Oh, does he? Well, he does a show for BBC, but, you know. I said to him, I said, James, come home. Come home, James. We want you. He went, blah, 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 like that. I'm going to cut you off now, Carrick.
Thank you.
There we go. 0844 499 1000.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. I was going to ask for Nigel from Maidstone to call in, but we know that he doesn't listen to the show. He doesn't even listen to the conversation with me when he's on the telephone. But I don't think Nigel is aware of the remix of the Lindsay Lohan song that... that Dan did at the DCDJ. Now, we met Dan last night. He came to a film ring. Thank you to everybody who came. Wasn't it a delightful evening? Huh? Wasn't it a lot of fun? Are we going to do... Well, I think we're going to do another film ring. But it would have to be completely different from that. We couldn't try and recreate it by showing another crappy film and then getting a couple, you know, a surprise guest and a guest that we had. But we couldn't do that because I couldn't... find a film that would have as much impact as Kung Fu Elliot. And, you know, we got so lucky in getting Elliot's phone number, not so lucky in getting Blake's phone number, because it turns out if you just go on Facebook and ask him for his phone number, he gives it to you. He posts it on his Facebook page to the point where you go, Blake, delete the phone number, man. But we did. We struck lucky getting Blake and Elliot as surprise guests. A ripple of excitement through the audience when I pulled out a piece of paper and said I had Blake's telephone number on it. Boy. And then, obviously, we had Jarrett set up and we didn't even show all of the deleted scenes we had. We had loads more. 0844 499 1000. So we want to do another film ring. Maybe. But it would have to be different. And one idea I had, the only idea I've had so far, we may not do it. We may just do a different type of evening there. But the one idea I had was you get three independent short filmmakers to come and show their films and you have like a Q&A with them. So it will be completely different. And what got me thinking that was my friend Dougie Anderson. You know Dougie Anderson, who came on the other week? And is, you know, if you follow my career, you'll be aware of Dougie. He's brilliant. He makes short films, and I thought he would be an excellent guest. So you get Dougie down, you show a couple of short films, and then we do a Q&A, and then we have two other directors. I'm also thinking I've got a short film that is going to be finished one day, and I could just show that. But I don't know. It's not as instantly sexy as showing a Kung Fu Elliot movie. And it's not as instantly... and it doesn't matter if we didn't have the same number of people coming. I don't know. So I'm really kind of... I'm not thinking too hard about it. I'm not fretting about it. I'm hoping that an idea just kind of pops up and we go, oh, yeah, that might work. So I don't know. If anyone's got any suggestions... No, in fact, I don't want your suggestions. If anyone's got any suggestions, keep them to yourself. Because I'll know a good idea when it comes to me. I will know a good idea when it comes to me. 0844-499-1000. But the point I was trying to make is that Nigel from Maidstone is unaware that there has been a remix of the Lindsay Lohan song. And I need to talk to him. Because I want to go to Maidstone, to go to his house, shock horror, and with a film crew, and film us recording. Well, I mean, we knocked out that song in like a 5-minute phone call, so we could do like a double album's worth of material in an afternoon. You know, it took the Beatles, I think, 11 hours to record the Please Please Me album. I mean, we could do like 5 of those. We're more prolific than the 1962 Beatles. But I need Nigel to get in touch, you see. This is the thing. I need Nigel to get in touch so that we can make that point. Anyway, some of you won't have heard this. Now, this is a little bit ruder, and I mean, it's after 11:30, so I think we can get away with this. But Dan at the DC DJ did a remix of Barry from Watford when he called in a couple of weeks ago. And, well, it's a little bit raunchier, this. I would put it up there with, what's that disco song? Is it the one that, Love to Love You, Baby? It's a bit like Love to Love You, but it's a little bit blue. So, here we go.
I'm a titty man, you're a titty lady. I'm a titty man, you're a piece of lazy. I'm a titty man. I'm Steve Hawking. I'm a titty man. I'm a titty man. You're a titty lady. I'm a titty man. You're a piece of lazy. I'm John Oakes and I'm a titty man. I'm Steve Hawking. I'm a titty man. True identity.
True identity.
I'm a titty man.
No one knows what they're gonna see. Take it to me.
I'm a titty man. You're a titty lady. I'm a titty man. You're a titty lady. I'm John Oakes and I'm a titty man. I'm Steve Hawking. I'm a titty man. I'm a titty man. You're a titty lady. I'm a titty man. You're a titty lady. I'm John Oakes and I'm a titty man. I'm Steve Hawking. I'm a titty man. I'm a true identity.
True identity. I'm a titty man. True identity.
I'm a titty man. I'm a titty man.
Now, I had Barry from Watford got in touch when he first heard that at the weekend, maybe Friday, Saturday, I can't remember. And he kept bugging me. So you've got to listen to this, you've got to listen to this, you've got to listen to this. And I was like, I can't, I'm busy. And I listened to it with the last 6% of my phone battery and in a car park. It was a very seedy moment. And I only got half of the song, but boy, oh boy, I could not stop singing it. I could not stop singing it. 0844 499 1000.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Well, 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 0844 499 1000. We call you back, guys. Hannah.
Hello. Hey, how Hannah. Are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
What's happening on September 2nd?
Everyone is invited to come down to see the show being made.
So what's you on the radio, basically?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So, yeah, that's September the 2nd, everybody is invited to come to Talk Towers and see the show being made. We're going to have, hopefully, have Pete Heat and the Magician coming in. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to have... my mind has gone. The Rocking Birds coming in to do a couple of songs. They're the country band that I used to dig in the 90s. They're brilliant. They're going to come in and play a couple of songs, hopefully. And on the telephone, we're going to have Neil Hannon from The Divine Comedy.
Oh, sounds like a good evening.
It sounds like a good evening. And do you know how much it will cost?
Nothing.
Diddly squat. It's a freebie from us to you. Everybody is invited down.
Oh, lady, coming down then.
And you can go. People want to come in for 20 minutes, half an hour, the whole show, they're more than welcome to. You've got to make your own way here, your own way back, right? And we're right in the arse end of nowhere, I should let you know.
So you can't pay for my cab then?
No, not paying for cabs, not paying for nothing like that. and if there's any, and we will have a very strict policy, if there is any argy-bargy... you know, if there's any behaviour that Kath and I do not like, you're out straight away. None of that. Please, if you're a member of Daesh and you're thinking, oh, this will be a great opportunity to come and make a statement by, I don't know, blowing myself up live on radio, on national radio, we haven't got that many listeners. I swear to God, it is not worth any terrorist organisation using this as an opportunity to propagate their filth, OK? Because I've seen the radar figures. Mate, it ain't worth dying for. You'd get about 15 virgins for that. Seriously, you wouldn't get the full 72. You'd get up there and go, yeah, but you're on talk radio. No one was listening. I've seen the radar figures. You only get 15 of them.
It's not that bad, surely.
So that's what's happening on Friday, that's next week. This was happening week Friday. Everyone can rock up, and we'll see. It might be a disaster. It might be all right. I think it'll be all right. We've not worked out the technicals of it yet, and we've got no idea how it's going to work. But that'll be part of the joy.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I was calling up for, really.
All right then. Thanks for calling. Tutty, bye.
Bye.
Bye. We'll talk about it more next week. But yeah, next Friday, 10 till 1. You're welcome to come down and
and hang out and stuff. Will they be able to hear? This is what you know, the problem we were talking about the output, about them being able to hear the output. Will they be able to hear the output? They'll be able to, will they? Fine, you know, we'll have a magician, we'll have some singers there. You know, it could be awful. It might not be. Dan!
Hello. Oh, you're on speaker. Wait a minute.
Oh, God.
That's fixed.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes.
Right. Yes, Ian, I've had a week without the kids and without the missus.
Uh-oh.
I'm sat in my pants.
Yeah.
There's flies in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter at all.
Doesn't matter. I'm beginning my third week without my wife and children. I'm missing those boys terribly now.
I'm slightly missing the kid and the missus now. But they said to me on Sunday, "Oh, we're going to stay an extra couple of days. Is that all right?" And I went, "Yeah,
yeah." I'm enjoying the peace. I'm enjoying being able to watch a movie. I did have a couple of days last week of just abject despair and self hatred. That's fine. I'm looking forward.
Well, I've had the same. Major anxiety attacks. It's been an awful day. But on the upside, the day is nearly over.
Today, I did think today, right, I was struggling today and I took the dog out for it. I was going to bring the dog in tonight and I just thought, I can't be arsed. And I took the dog out for a long walk so that she'd be worn out. And then I just went home and I went to bed and I couldn't sleep. I was just lying in bed for 2 hours, just full of, I don't know what I was full of. And then I kind of thought I ought to come into work now. You know, so I came into work. And I stopped at the petrol station and I stacked up on and it doesn't sound much, right? But I bought this horrible crappy sandwich and a big coffee and a couple of those massive bags of sweets. And I was eating them.
What kind of massive bags of sweets?
Oh, Revels and Counters. I really like Counters. Have you had Counters?
I have. They are the Minstrels without the crispy shell.
Yeah, yeah. And they are just like, just keep shoving those things down my throat. And I did it because I wanted to make myself feel fat, and now I feel fat, and I wanted to make myself feel sick and bloated, and I did feel sick. I still feel a bit bloated. I didn't do it for the pleasure of eating Counters and Revels. What?
Why did you want to make yourself feel sick?
Self-abuse.
Right.
Self-abuse. And it's like a mild form of self-abuse, but it's in the same way that...
it's the kind you can do in public as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's the same way that people cut themselves. You know, and not, you know, anyway, people say, oh, he's comparing eating two bags of sweets to cut himself. There is a similar thing in that it is to do with just punishing yourself.
But in a delicious way.
Well, it wasn't delicious. It was horrible, actually. The Counters were quite nice, but then I got to the... I was horrible, and I'm eating them thinking, oh, I don't want to be eating these. I don't want to be eating these. It's nuts. The human mind, right, is nuts. And I've got this theory, right, that we're all effed up. All of us are effed up, right, and that there is nobody who is, in inverted commas, normal, or is coping. I don't think anybody's coping, but some people are better at pretending than others.
Yeah, that's it. Some people, they have the illusion that they have not a care in the world, but they're not coping.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody that is coping. I genuinely think that we're all nuts, and we've all got our kinks and our perversions and our ways of... getting through the day, and well, I've just got a smile on my face now. For Wednesday, Dean Torrance is coming on the show on Wednesday. He's just emailed Catherine. He's obviously not listening to the show, otherwise he would have retracted that. Dean Torrance from Jan and Dean will be on the show on Wednesday. Sweet.
For a moment, I thought you said Dean Koontz, the horror writer or the sci-fi.
No.
Ian, you know, yes. You're having people in the studio or in the special room.
Yes.
If you have your listeners in the special room,
yeah,
how many will be left listening at home?
It depends how many turn up. Give me a number of how many you think might turn up.
I think you're looking at a good, probably about 20.
Oh, so they'll be bringing friends, will they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weeknight, isn't it? It's school work night.
Yeah, it's a Friday.
Is it Friday?
It's Friday. The 2nd of September is a Friday.
Well, it's my birthday the next week, a bit earlier.
Hey, wait a minute. You can't... That's not a thing. It's my birthday the next week. That's not a thing.
It's my birthday the next week and a little bit earlier.
It's my birthday the next year. It's not a thing. You don't say
birthday the next year every year.
Exactly. So you can't just... Well, no, sometimes it's my birthday this year.
When?
earlier. But you can't say...
it's not your birthday this year,
it
then.
Doesn't make you...
65 days in a year.
It doesn't make you special by saying, oh, it's my birthday the week after. That's a nothing.
I know. But I've barely had human interaction for a week. Other than work, and that doesn't count.
I did my thing today of going online on Xbox and pretending to be a sweary American.
Do you do it by putting the microphone ever so slightly too close to your mouth, so it's all like, what are you doing, man?
No, I treat the microphone with respect, but right. I go, hey guys, how we doing today? Let's go and kick some ass! And then you've got all these English kids going, oh, that's great. Whereabouts are you? I'm from Texas in New York, and I want to go and kick some ass. Let's go and kick some ass.
Dallas, Texas, New York City.
Yeah, I deal with that.
Yes, America.
I can only play video games whilst I'm pretending to be an American.
I can't play video games online anymore.
Why is that? Your mum turned the Wi-Fi off and not give you the password.
Yeah. That's it. The problem is, I don't enjoy playing against people I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't really enjoy the shooting games anymore.
I get great pleasure from playing people I don't know. I can't play against people I know because I haven't got any friends. Mm. And why can't you play the shooting games?
Oh, I don't enjoy playing them in groups. I can play the single-player campaigns and really enjoy them because there's a goal.
Okay, so you're a pussy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I don't like the goal. I like running around, and sometimes I like keeping them on their toes with a few team kills. Do like a good team kill.
The other day, there was a game a few years ago that stole far too many of my hours.
Yeah.
And it was called Pac-Man Championship Edition DX.
Oh gosh!
Basically, it was Pac-Man, and it's going to sound like a cliche. Pac-Man on acid.
Hey!
You've got a 5-minute countdown. You've just got to beat your score.
Yeah.
And now there's a sequel, and I have a child.
Where was the psychedelic bit that the reference to acid implied was inherent?
Oh, the graphics. The graphics would pulsate and move, and the game might melt on the screen.
So it was literally like it was on acid then?
It was Pac-Man on acid on Xbox.
Wowzers. I met the guy that made Pac-Man.
Was it Thumb Bandits or Thumb Candy?
Thumb Candy, the good one. And he was I met him, and he was very sweaty and very nervous. And I got the impression that he was being held prisoner in Namco. And that he was just wheeled out. Anytime anyone wanted to interview the guy that made Pac-Man, he'd be wheeled out, right? And there's this story. The story that he tells is obviously made up, right? So your question is, how did you come up with Pac-Man, right? And the story he tells in Japanese, and it's translated. For all I know, he was saying, please get me out of here. These guys are going to kill me, right? But the story that is relayed from this sweaty, nervous man who's never made a decent game since. He's made Pac-Man, doesn't need to make a decent game. He's made one of the best games of all time.
He's rich, he's loaded.
No, he's
can't
not.
Spend the money because he's trapped.
No, he's not. He's not loaded.
Oh.
No, he got a salary. Oh, he got a salary. He got a salary and a tasty bonus, but he's not loaded. No, Namco are loaded, right? So you say, how did you come up with Pac-Man? He said, well, I was eating pizza and I cut a slice of pizza out and I looked down at my plate and I thought, that looks like a good video game character. So I invented Pac-Man. And you just think, no, mate, that's not. And of course, you know what it was called in Japan?
It was called Puckman.
It's called Puckman. And again, this story is made up, right? They sold it to the States as Puckman, P-U-C-K-man. And the story is that the boxes were getting, the cabinets were getting vandalised, and a little bit of the P in Puck was being rubbed out or removed with black marker pen. So it said, Man. Now, I don't believe that story either.
I believe they did change the name.
Yes.
But I don't believe there's too much defacing going on.
Someone show me a picture of an American arcade Puckman cab vandalised to look like... And I'll have you. But I don't believe it.
Now I need to talk... there's a game
There's an urban legend about a game, and this is very Howard Hughes territory. It's a game that apparently stole people's minds.
Oy. It wasn't the Aerosmith game, was it? Because that was good.
No.
No? Okay.
Hey, you said the Pac-Man creator was trying to escape from Namco.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is he can't... apparently he nearly did it.
Go on.
He got to Midway.
Hey!
Yeah.
What was the game that steals your mind?
I've completely forgotten its name. I will look it up and I will send you a link.
Thank you very much indeed, Dan. Thank you. Always a pleasure. And that's how this show rolls, guys. We've literally, for the last 2 hours, we've sat here and not talked about anything. We've just kind of, you know, we've had an awkward interview. We've played with Dot Wiggin from the Shags. We played an awkward bit from Howard Hughes last night. And we've just sat here kind of talking about nothing, really. And that's how the show works. So if you want to call in and talk about nothing, you can do. I mean, I've not even bothered. I've done it tonight. I've come in with a blank sheet of paper. Got nothing. And I did have a little look through the newspapers when I came in. It's all Olympics and David Beckham's ex-bodyguard living in an airport. That's kind of all there is in the papers. Isn't it funny how everyone's gone quiet on the Paralympics? It's been downgraded to like just like a sports day, I think. Rio, they've not sold hardly any tickets to the Paralympics, and they've run out of money, and so they've downgraded it to just like a fun day. Seriously, they've not even got a running track. They've just got using the local park, and for the hockey, they're actually using jumpers for goalposts. They're actually doing it. I'm surprised no one's made a bigger fuss about that, because that's a pretty snarky story. I'm not saying that's what we're going to talk about in the next hour. We can do if you want to. You're more than welcome to. 0844 499 1000. But there's hardly anything in the papers, and I did have a little glimpse through that. There's hardly anything about the Paralympics being downgraded. Imagine. Oh, it's downgraded. We're not sold any tickets. I went to the Paralympics. The only bit of the Olympics I saw in 2012 was I went to the Paralympics. Went to the Paralympic weightlifting. It was awesome. 0844 499 1000. Paul, stay there. Come to you after this.
Talk radio.
So, there you go. It's a show about nothing. You can call in about nothing, and I could make it easy and give you a load of topics, but where's the fun in that? 0844 499 1000. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Here's a message from the Haters Club, dedicated to the one I love. I've been cursed. Twisted state of bliss, indulging in such hatefulness. I just need a prequel to redeem my evil, 'cause I wasn't always like this. Seeing couples hand in hand makes it hard for me to understand. Me without you, you without me. Give me some of that misery. I'm a high hater. I run with the best like
in my hand... Hush yourself. I have in my hand a piece of paper. But before that, let's go to Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Paul.
I was just wondering if you was a Discogs user.
Yes.
A user of the website Discogs.
I got the reference. I was on Discogs today looking something up.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Was it expensive? Or was
no,
it
didn't exist. It didn't exist. I'm after some records.
Little things happen, don't they?
Yeah, I'm after some stuff that was released online by the artist. Mm. And you can't... They were never released on CD or anything. You can't get them. And they list them on Discogs, but you can't get
them. Yeah, they do, don't they? They list them.
But I like Discogs. For those who don't know, let's explain. Let's cut to the chase. Let's stop messing about.
Go for it.
Let's go for it. Let's dive straight in there. Let's tell them exactly what it is Discogs is. It's a geeky record site for old farts like me and Paul, where you can go. It's like eBay, but it's a little bit more niche. It's true,
isn't
it?
Exactly, yeah.
Exactamundo. What was the last thing you bought on there, Paul?
Shonen Knife.
What?
Compilation.
What?
Shonen Knife.
Shonen Knife. I thought you said Show Me Knife, the Japanese band.
I bought a compilation. It wasn't expensive. It's readily available, but it just turned out it was cheaper for me to buy it on there than it was my local store.
I never quite got Shonen Knife.
Yeah, you know, they're okay. Their songs are brilliant.
They did a version of Daydream Believer, of course.
Yes.
By the Monkees.
They did a lot of Ramones covers.
Yeah, here we go. Here's one. Hang on a minute. Let's see what this is. This is on. Hang on a minute. Here we go. Here's one. Nah, I never really... I've only got that one album, Brand New Knife. It's an old album, that. Anyway, let's give him another try. There's one called Keep On Rocking. Here we go, hang on.
So that's a plectrum.
Yeah, plectrum bass, isn't it? Plectrum. That's how I play the bass. Yeah. I play the bass with the plectrum. I can't do the picking.
You need a solid thumb.
Here we go, hang on. Oh, come on. Nah, they're rubbish. I was right. And I'll listen to them again in another 20 years. They're rubbish.
I just needed it because I didn't have any.
Yeah.
So I go for the compilation.
We like to fill in our gaps, don't we?
Oh, yes.
I did something quite powerful this past week. Sorry? I went to IKEA, right?
No.
Yeah. And I was dreading it because I needed to buy a couple of new rugs because the dog is, when she was a puppy, she wasn't house trained, she ruined the rugs. And I wanted to get some storage boxes, right? I wanted to get some boxes because I've got all these books. I've got loads and loads of books and I don't want to chuck any books away. But we've got no more bookshelves. So all the books that I have read in the last 6 months, I've put them into boxes, I've put them in the garage, right? So it means that I've got fresh books around me, and then in a year's time, I can go and swap them back over. So it's sorted, right? So I bought myself a lot of space there. Right. And, of course, here's the thing. Let me tell you a little story, Paul. That song I just played...
Tell me.
I'm going to tell you. The song I played at the top of the hour was by Marnie Coppola, right, who I think is a genius, right?
She's a very clever lady.
And she was on the show a couple of weeks ago. We put out the interview again last week. Anyway. And she emails me now, because I'm trying to get her to come over to the UK. So she emailed me when I was in IKEA, saying, oh, by the way, Ian, here's a new song. Do you think I should include it on the new album? Do you think the UK fans will connect with it? Right? She's American. And so I'm in IKEA listening to this new song that no one's ever heard. And it's brilliant. And I replied to her, "It's brilliant, I'm in IKEA." Right?
Yeah.
I don't know why I told her that. But to sound... Because she's quite urban, right? She lives in New York, right? So to make myself sound cool, I didn't say, I'm in IKEA. I said, I'm in effing IKEA. it's a bit urban, isn't it? I'm in effing IKEA. And what I'm saying is, I'm a family man, I've got responsibilities, and I like having nice things in my home, but man, it's a drag. Oh, it's a drag being in effing IKEA and having to give money to the man. F that. Oh, F that. I'd rather be rolling a fat one and, you know, going on a, I don't know, going on a cruise, going on a barge down the river or something. You know, something cool, right? Something cool like that. Right.
Like, what's that thing the Oxford people do?
The ox?
With the sticks.
I'd like to get a stick inside an ox. Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking, right? And so she replied, this was how cool she is, right? She replied with the word IKEA. And then, you know emojis, yeah?
Who?
You know emojis, yeah?
No, I never heard that.
Right. Who's that with you? Who's the prisoner?
My wife has just told me I should get off the phone.
You got a phone?
I have a phone.
Yeah, you're talking to me on it, Paul.
Yeah, my wife's just told me...
What?
I should get off the phone.
Oh, ask her if she knows what an emoji is.
Do you know what an emoji is, Claire?
Paul, stop it. Yeah, just put the phone down.
She told me to put the phone down.
But does she know what an emoji is?
Do you know what an emoji is?
What?
No, she's giving... She...
Yep. Okay. There was an F-bomb there. We dumped that. But I didn't hear what she said before the F-bomb, Kath. Did you hear, Kyle, what she said before the F-bomb? You would have heard the F-bomb as well, wouldn't you, Kyle?
No, I've got it on the phone. So, no, I didn't. I was more amazed. I was sort of breathtaking by that.
Kath is typing on my screen that she said, let you and your woman speak.
Why did... So does... Hang on, let me work this out. Does she think he's having an affair?
With me?
That's mental.
And she, but yet, she's, they're still in the same, God, don't you want to know? This is the beauty of this gig, Kyle, right? This is why doing this time of night is the best time of night, right? After 11:30 is when it really starts cooking. Because I've now got so many questions about Paul, I think he's from Southend, and his relationship with his wife, and you know, whether anything you'd been drinking or whatever, or were they in bed, were they downstairs? Well, so many questions.
Wow. That's just excuse me, my voice is going. I feel really bad because I was just going to ask you about, is it IKEA or IKEA?
It's IKEA, you muppet. Who do you think you are? My mate Conan's mum?
No. On the TV advert now, it says IKEA.
No, they don't.
They do.
No, they don't.
They really well do.
Maybe they do, but it's IKEA.
No, anyway.
Yeah.
I have another question for you. So this thing next week in your studio on the 2nd of September, that sounds fantastic.
Yes.
And I was thinking, that's brilliant, obviously. I love the Divine Comedy. I didn't know about that.
Yep.
I think we were at the
same... He's going to be on the phone. Neil Hannon's going to be on the phone. Let me say that.
Very true. Yep. But a very talented man.
Yeah.
However, I'm just thinking, is this some sort of trap, like film night, where you got to get us all in a studio, and like last night failed, so you'll get us all in one place, and then just kill us like the John Jones Massacre?
It's an interesting idea. Having seen the listening figures, I can't really afford to kill the 50 people that will turn up.
It wouldn't help the rag jars, would it? Really?
It would. We'd be into negative figures.
Now, you see, I'm into your game now, though, because I'm still thinking, cast my mind back, I still want to know more about that bloke now, ringing in, and his missus thinking that he's doing a bit.
He'll call him again. Paul, we've spoken to Paul before, I'm sure we have. And
I don't remember him.
I'm sure we've spoken to Paul before. Are we not, Kath? Oh, Kath's saying we've not. Oh, well... we've not. He sounded half cut, to be honest. 0844 499 1000. What was I talking to him about, though? Cause emojis. So she sends. You know what emojis are, don't you, Kyle?
Yeah.
I can't get him to ask his missus what an emoji was. That's made me laugh. So anyway, she writes back because she understands. Imani Coppola understands the frustration of me being in IKEA. She writes back IKEA, and then she has a picture of her head, and then she has a gun pointing to the head. And I think she was saying that I should run amok with a Glock in the shop.
But do you know they've changed the emoji picture now? Do you know about this?
No.
Yeah, they've changed it. So instead of a gun, it's a water pistol. Seriously, I'm not winding you up.
Well, hang on a minute. Let me check my emails.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do get emails from pop stars. Let me. How do I search? Hang on, Imani. Hang on a minute. I guess I've emailed two really cool people in the last couple of days. I have. No, that's a gun, mate. That's definitely a gun.
What, they changed it in the next update? Because I saw something.
I'll update your face and my fist in a minute if you keep on.
Oh.
I've emailed two people, Michael Nesmith, and also here's who I've emailed at the weekend, Bruce Lee's wife.
Well, why do you email her?
To say that I have information about her. No, to see if she'll come on the show. Bruce Lee's wife and daughter, I've emailed them to see if they'll come on the show. How cool would that be, getting Shannon or Linda on? That would be awesome.
That would be quite cool.
That would be really cool, man.
Have you now thought about... I was thinking about somebody from... Oh, I can't know what's called. Elvis Presley's missus. Or does she cost too much now?
She wouldn't want to come on something like this. I've got no connection with Elvis Presley's missus, but with Bruce Lee, I've got a spiritual connection. So... Carl, stay there. I'm going to come to you after this.
Late Night Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. So, Kyle, I've got a letter. I've got a fan letter.
Okay.
Shall we open it? I've not opened it. Shall we open it?
You got to open it and read it now, live on air.
I'm wondering if it's from the fruitcake who keeps sending me anonymous daft letters. Let's have a look. Oh, no.
It's not from Stephen, is it?
No, this is typed. Hang on a second. And this might be serious. Hang on a second. It's from someone called Ben. I'm not going to read it all because it's a nice letter, and they're referencing something that happened on the show that they were particularly touched by. Mm. Ian, I love what you and Kath are doing. What? Okay. I look forward to the podcast. So keep on trucking. There's a phrase you don't hear anymore. Who invented the keep on trucking phrase? Because in the 70s, right, was it G? I remember that my dad used to work with a company called G.H. Lucking. It wasn't Dave Lee Travis. That was keep on touching.
Can you say that now?
No. Oh. We can keep on touching the cordless telephone. No, the phoneless cord, wasn't it? That was what he keep. Oh, I can't say what she's just written on the screen. What was it? The prize that he would give away? A phoneless cord. Hello, Kyle.
Oh no, sorry. I thought you were talking to Catherine. Sorry.
No, talk to her anytime.
Sorry. But is it a nice letter?
Hang on a minute. Yes, and that's a nice letter. Thank you, Ben.
The only thing...
I apologise, Ben, for thinking that you might be... Yeah, read that, Kath, that's nice. I apologise, Ben, for thinking you might be a serial killer or a serial masturbator. You're not. You're a nice person that's written a nice letter, and thank you very much indeed. You read that, Kath, that's nice. Kyle, get to the flipping point of this bloody call, man!
I was just going to ask whether you were a killer soul, but you going to write back to him now, and would you use, like, nice note paper? Would you actually handwrite a note and say, thank you for the compliments on the show?
No. I don't think there's an address on there. There might be. I don't write letters. I don't write letters. Don't do that, no.
Oh.
No, that's not what you called in for, because you didn't know I had that letter, Kyle.
No, I called in just to see whether you were going to try and assassinate us all.
We wouldn't be an assassination. It would just be a mass murder. Because none of you, unless, like, you know, you're like political leaders or something, it's not going to be an assassination. Here we go. Here's the question.
Mm.
When does a murder become an assassination? Political leaders... That's definitely assassination, right? When the guy tried to shoot Ronald Reagan to impress Jodie Foster, that was an assassination attempt, right?
Yeah.
If I was to try and kill the Pope, that would be an assassination attempt. If I succeeded, it would be an assassination. But yet people often refer to the murder of John Lennon as an assassination. So is an assassination... It can't just be a public figure, because Jill Dando was... It was called a murder. I know we're speaking freely and I'm not making light of any of these things. I'm just using them as examples. Jill Dando was referenced as a murder, wasn't it? Not an assassination. So is it a leader? Because it could be argued that John Lennon was a kind of leader. There's that video of him, give peace a chance, and he's walking down the streets. I don't know. Oh, wait, there we go. This is the last 47 minutes of a very sombre show. When does a murder become an assassination? Oh, hang on. Kyle, stay there. I bet Gary knows. Gary?
Yes, Mr. Lee?
When does a murder become an assassination?
Well, I'll try to lighten the mood a little bit. That's a bit heavy, isn't it, this time of night? An assassination is if it's maybe a president or something, but not someone who's in the public figure.
Well, but okay, well then I reference you again to John Lennon. There is a film called The Assassination of John Lennon. So he was assassinated.
I think they were trying to ride the wave of Kennedy on that one, weren't they?
Well, the old Kennedy wave. Hang on, Gary, we'll come to your point in a minute. Carl, did we get to your point?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, thanks for calling. Yes, Gary, what did you call in for, boss?
I was just trying to lighten the mood a little bit. I just want to play a bit of concert roulette. I'm just coming back from a concert. I want you to guess which one it was.
You've been to a concert. Okay, let me have a little thing. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, right? And through the answers, I'm going to work out who you went to see. All right?
Sounds good.
Play a game? Right, okay. First question.
Okay. Okay.
Who did you go and see in concert tonight?
that would be giving it away. I can give you a location if you want. It was in London.
It was Wembley, wasn't it? It was the O2.
No, not the O2. Kind of the O2, but not the O2.
Oh, so it was in the Indigo Room at the O2?
No, it was an O2 something, but not the O2 or the Indigo.
O2, right, well, that's either... Was that Shepherd's Bush then?
No, not Shepherd's Bush.
Where's the other O2 then? It's not what used to be called the Hammersmith Apollo.
In Kentish Town? Do you know Kentish
Town? The Town and Country Club.
The Forum.
Well, it was the Town and Country Club in my day, then the Forum.
You see the HMV Forum, and then they changed it to the O2 Forum.
So you've been to see somebody, and I'm not going to Google this, because I genuinely, I'm excited. Now, that is a mid-sized venue.
Yeah.
Right. So that is normally... Was it up and coming or was it down and going?
I wouldn't say up and coming. Maybe you could categorise it as down and going.
Down and going. And
been around for 15, 20 years.
There we go. Down and going. Down and going. It's a good-sized venue for up and coming or down and going acts.
Yes. It's been around for quite a while.
British or American?
American.
Ooh. 20 years, so they would have started about late 90s, American.
Late 90s, early 2000s, they were quite big.
Nickelback!
It's along those lines. Along those lines.
Oh, God, you've wasted your money. Sixpence None the Richer. I made myself laugh by remembering them. Do you remember them? Sixpence None the Richer. They did their...
Was that Kiss Me, was it?
Their hit was Kiss Me, then the follow-up to it... was There She Goes by the Lars.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
They disappeared off the face of the earth. I don't think they could sell out the Forum or the pub next to it. Actually.
No, I don't think they could. The pub next to it, the Bull and Gate, is it? The Bull and Gate?
Yeah, that's been all we've done, actually. It's quite nice in there. And then there's the Assembly Room, which is a pub on the corner just as you come out of the station. Do nice food in there.
I used to... The Bull and Gate, I've played at the Bull and Gate, and I've seen Frank Sidebottom there a lot. Kathy's guessing Evanescence, but you don't sound like a Christian rocker to me, no.
No, definitely not Evanescence.
River City People?
No. The two... I'll give you another clue, then.
Go on.
The two brothers...
Yeah?
Who are the lead singers and the main guitarist.
Well,
Not Van Halen.
Not Van Halen, no.
Mate, I'm going to be honest. It's going to be some poxy band I've never heard of. Oh, no, don't lose him now. Gary? Oh, you are... Gary? Oh, you are joking. You are joking! Get him straight back. Call him straight back immediately. You... Oh! I did make myself laugh by remembering Sixpence None the Richer. It's a terrible name for a band. And River City People. Remember they had a hit with California Dreaming, wasn't it? I think that was it. And that was it. Oh, we can't get hold of Gary. What a bummer.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Gary, I think we've got you back.
Sorry about that. I was on the train, so I went through a tunnel.
Oh, mate, well, that was a nasty, cruel game. Go on, then. Who was it? I can't work it out.
Good Charlotte.
Oh, well, that is Good Charlotte American? I thought they were Welsh.
Not Welsh? No, they're American.
Well, you say, I couldn't name you a Good Charlotte song.
You must know Young and the Hopeless.
I don't know it off the top.
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
What was the last song they played for the encore?
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
All right. Well, if I can get my internet to right, Good Charlotte.
When you put it on, Lifestyles of the Rich, you must recognise that. You're a music guru.
All right. Let's have a. All right, here we go. Let's have a little listen. This is the official video for Lifestyles. What's all these adverts on YouTube, guys?
Oh, it drives me mad. I can't listen to anything without watching an advert now.
And it's a whole 12 seconds we've got to sit through. Well, I'm not even going to look at it I've got to look at it to see. Right, 6, 5. Does it go? Lifestyles of the rich and famous. Is that it? Here we go. Hang on, Oh, I know this. Here we go. Oh, dear. Okay. There's a touch of Blink 182s about them. Yeah. And a touch of, what was the band I bought the album? Hang on, let me just get to the chorus, hang on. Richard Famous, the road's complaining, always complaining. It's my show, I'm Richard Famous, I love my baby, that drives me crazy. Did he have his hair done up in the punk style?
Yeah, kind of. He wore most of it. That's lightened the mood, other than Assassination.
Because he's going bald, isn't it? They remind me of... who are the band that did... I quite like them. Is there a song called Black Parade?
Oh, My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, I liked My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, good band.
That was a good album.
Yeah, it was a really good album actually. Yeah. I agree. Really good album.
All right, Gary. Well, thank you for that, mate. Was it good? Did you enjoy it?
I did indeed.
Beautiful.
Did indeed. Want to give you a little call on the way back?
There you go. Thank you, Gary. I appreciate that. Always happy to take calls from people on the way back from bands. Monday night gig. You see, Monday night gig. Good Charlotte. Tomorrow, Catherine and I are going to see the new Beatles movie, which is based on Lord of the Rings. You know, they were going to make a film that was after Help that was going to be based on it was going to be Lord of the Rings. They were going to make Lord of the Rings, and Ringo was going to be Bilbo. That would have been awesome. Then they had, I think this was before Help, they had Joe Orton write a film script for them, or at least a treatment of a film script. And I think John and Paul, someone with more Beatles knowledge will know. So Joe Orton was going to write a film script for the Beatles, and John and Paul, I think, were going to be. It was going to be implied that they were gay, and they were going to go around doing like robberies and stuff. Man, that would have been awesome, wouldn't it?
wouldn't it? And then I think that morphed into loot. I think. I might be connecting two or three slightly different things, but I'm sure that's how I remember it. Tomorrow we're going to go and see the Beatles. The Beatles on Tour movie, directed by Ron Howard, Richie Cunningham from Happy Days, which I'm very, very excited about. We're going to go and see it at a press screening. Oh, that reminds me, I've got a press copy of the Mike Love book, right? The guy from the Beach Boys. And the two bits I want to read to you, I can't read to you because one involves racial language and one involves the sexual word. Oh, no, I can read it because I can change the words. I won't read the racial language one because that will... it's on my phone because I've got a picture of it. No, I can do it and I can change the word because I know we've got young ears and stuff. So this is the Mike Love book, right, which is a cracking read. I'm absolutely loving it. So, right, this is Mike Love, lead singer of the Beach Boys, cousin to Brian, Dennis and Carl. And he talks about Dennis Wilson, right? This is how he starts the second chapter of the book. As teenagers, Dennis and I would wake up early and go fishing on the Redondo Beach breakwater, passing the day talking about girls, our parents, the indignity of adolescence and sex. No one's ever spoken... The indignity of adolescence... Hey, Dennis, should we talk about the indignity of adolescence? I don't know what it means. I was only 3 years older than Dennis, but that's about 30 in teenage years. So I tried to give him some pointers. Now, I'm going to use a different word in a minute, right? But the clever amongst you will be able to put the right word in. So I tried to give him some pointers and was the first to tell him about cunning linguists. Cunning linguists. It piqued his interest. And by... that's how he said... I hope he's doing an audiobook of this. If he's doing... I think he is. If he's doing an audiobook, man alive, that clip's going to get played all the time during the news. It piqued his interest. And this is the thing, right? By Mike Love telling Dennis Wilson about that, I'm gonna make a conservative estimate. 250,000 women were much happier, including Christine McVie from Fleetwood Mac. So Mike Love gets a bad rap. Ladies should be thanking him. A lot of ladies should be doing a lot of thanking. But this book is genuinely, I honestly love it. And I'm reading it really slowly because I'm savouring it. Savouring it. It's one of those books I want to enjoy this. And I know that if I could sit down, I could demolish this in a day. And I don't want to. I want to savour it. Because I reckon there's Brian Wilson's got a book coming out as well. Dean Torrance has got a book coming out, which I've ordered. I've ordered it. And that'll be a good read. I reckon the Brian Wilson one might be a bit dry. It'll sell more than the Mike Love one. It will sell like 10 times the number of the Mike Love books. And the Mike Love book will get reviews based on the fact that he's wearing a cap on the cover. He's an old bald rock star. They don't like showing the fact they're bald. They hate it. You know, we all know what's under there, and it's kind of like an unwritten rule. No one mentions it. Mike Love might be coming on the show. I'm desperately chasing that. And the book will get slated because it's Mike Love. And I cannot, for the life of me, work out why he's so hated by music journalists. I kind of know why, but I don't understand why music journalists can't see through that bullshine. And one of the 0844 499 1000, by the way, and one of the reasons he gets slated, right, he gets slated because apparently he didn't like Pet Sounds. That's not true. He gets slated because he got upset with the lyrics because he didn't understand the lyrics to Smile. Well, he had to sing them. So, of course, he's going to ask Van Dyke Parks, who wrote the lyrics, I don't know what this means. Can you explain it to me? Of course, he's got to sing it. And it wasn't, that wasn't the reason Smile didn't get released. It got released because the Beach Boys decided at that point to sue their record company, and Brian Wilson decided to take way more acid than his fragile mind could take. But you also get slated because of, like, some of the songs that he did in the 80s were rubbish. Some were rubbish, man. Awful. And the fact that his singing was a bit rubbish in the 80s. He really, if you watch videos of Mike Love in the 80s, he really plays up the nasal thing. It's weird. I don't know why. But no one mentions Give My Regards to Broad Street, a whole movie that Paul McCartney made that I've watched three times. And I must be the only... Even Paul McCartney's not seen it three times. It's unwatchable. It is. There are some good moments in it. The ballroom dancing scene is superb. But for the most part, it is terrible, right? And that's a Beatle. I remember Give My Regards to Broad Street coming out in the cinema, 1984, I think. And I remember seeing trailers for it and clips of it on kids' programmes. It was awful. And no one goes, oh, Paul McCartney is a right knob, right? Because he made that awful. They go, oh, it's Paul McCartney. Yeah, it's Paul McCartney. He's brilliant. No one mentions the Press to Play album by Paul McCartney. That was awful. And yet everyone has a pop at Mike Love. And they'll slag him off for this book. And it's... Oh, look, I've gone to chapter 10. I've just opened it to chapter 10. My personal life remained chaotic. So much so that I have a single file that holds the divorce papers from one marriage and the wedding invitation from the next. I may need to work on my filing system. Boom! Come on! I was good at falling in love, but lousy at being in love. Oh, come on, man! He's telling it! Love it! I'm Mike Love It! 0844-499-1000. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So, last 20 minutes of the show, you can call in if you want, or not if you don't want. It don't matter. 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number. We call you back. And now at this stage, Catherine joins me in the studio.
Hello. Yeah.
Now, at this stage, as the show kind of winds down and the numbers of callers naturally wind down, I'd be going through the papers. But there's nothing in the papers of any interest whatsoever. It's very, very...
Well, it's all Olympic hangover, isn't it? But Usain Bolt...
I wasn't saying anything.
What's he thinking?
It's quite a good joke, that, wasn't
it? Yeah, I know.
What's he done?
Well, it's more a case of who...
Uh-oh.
According to the Mail, he was with three women in one night and then allowed one of them to take a picture mid-flow, which he's published, and embarrassingly he's got out.
How much flow?
Well, over his shoulder. I mean, there's a time and a place for that, isn't
there? I'm confused as to...
What I'm saying to you. I'm saying to you what you think I'm saying to you. Well, I don't know about that, but he was certainly still... He was looking the other way, let's put it that way.
He won gold medals, did he?
Well, he did, yeah, but his girlfriend's not going to be very pleased about it.
Ah, you see.
But then there's another one with him looking at the camera, so obviously you don't care.
Well, he's a gold medal winner, and I think that these guys and gals should... I will happily have celebratory sex with any of the gold medal winners. Gold only. Not bronze or silver.
You've got
standards. Well, I could be persuaded to try bronze.
Okay.
But they are... They're
peak physical specimens.
Yeah, well, I am, yeah. But they are the modern equivalent of, like, Scott of the Antarctic.
Yeah.
They're like...
I didn't see any... I mean, it would have been paintings, wouldn't it? Yeah, Over-the-shoulder shots.
No, but I mean, they're heroes. They're inspirations. Our young people, you know, kids will look up to Usain Bolt and say, oh, wow, he got gold and he's having it away with three ladies.
I don't think these women were admiring his running prowess.
Brilliant. I could sleep with three ladies one day if I could get a gold medal. Brilliant. Something to aim for. I'm not going to do drugs. I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to eat fatty food. I'm going to turn the TV off. I'm going to go for a run. Because I'd like to have a way with three ladies, three classy ladies like that. I would like that. So,
why are they talking like that?
Because they're children.
They sound like Paul Dunan.
Yeah, children. You know, Paul Dunan is one of the nicest people
you've
ever met.
Yeah, and I heard him today on the way in. He was talking to Sam Delaney and he seemed like a really nice fella.
I love Paul and I know him a little
bit. He's made a bit of a muppet of himself, but who hasn't?
Yeah, exactly.
On reality TV shows. Yeah. I'm so glad that during my heavy drinking years, there was no such thing as like camera phones.
Yeah,
and stuff.
He got.
I got away with some terrible things.
He got a bit messed up, but he's such a nice bloke, Paul. We keep meaning to go for a coffee or something. Ed, there's a telephone call, mate.
It's Paul Dunan.
Are we going to go for that coffee? No, no. But I like Paul. Let's go to. He's a really nice, gentle spirit. Yes, Martin.
Hi, Ian. You all right?
Hello, Martin. You all right?
Sorry, I'm going downstairs because the dog's kicking off badly.
She's cooking what?
So, the reason I was calling.
Sorry?
I said the reason I was calling.
Oh, yes.
Assassination or murder.
Oh, yeah. It's a great title for a game. I can't be bothered. But if anyone can think of a game that we can play called Assassination or Murder, and just think of the rules, we'll play it tomorrow. Okay. But go on. What's the difference?
Well, isn't an assassination carried out by someone that's called an assassin? Mm. And a murder is carried out by someone that's called a murderer?
Yeah, but I think you... I think you become... The job description... It's not you don't go, right, I'm an assassin, so I'm going to kill Kath and that's going to be an assassination. I think it's retrospectively given to you, isn't it, after the event?
Well, I'm not sure. Isn't an assassin someone that is either monetarily or politically motivated to kill somebody, and a murderer is someone that premeditates the emotional killing of somebody they know or have a vested interest in killing?
So...
There's also an element of surprise in an assassination.
Well, yeah, potentially.
Well, hang on, there's an element of surprise in most murders.
Well.
but so you're saying you can be an it can be an assassination if there is money involved.
Or politics.
Well, the person committing the killing isn't emotionally attached, but they're politically motivated or monetarily motivated.
I'm going to shoot that down, pun intended, because I could be paid quite handsomely, say £50, to murder Catherine.
Why is it me in
just
these scenarios?
Just because it's the thing I hold on to. I could be paid £50 to murder Catherine, but that would still be a murder. That's not an assassination. And yet I am... contract killers are murderers. They're not assassins.
I'm not so sure. I don't think that holds water.
I would think of an assassin as a hitman, so it's a hit rather than a murder, isn't it?
Okay, let's layer on top of that. Not only are they monetarily motivated or politically motivated, they are trained to kill, as opposed to somebody that is not trained to kill but does it almost sporadically, but in a premeditated way.
Quite often you'll hear radio presenters say, well... Gun crime is rife. I mean, I could walk into a pub in the East End of London and buy a gun. What pub is that? Just asking for a friend. Because I don't know. I have never been in a pub, right, and thought, ooh, I'm getting a vibe. I could probably buy a gun in here.
I had a neighbour once who got put away for hiring a hitman.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What, Pete Waterman?
No.
That was a good one, wasn't it? The hitman and her.
Yeah. No, an actual hitman with an actual gun.
Did the person kill someone? Did they murder? Was it a murder they were trying to do?
They were doing a hit.
So a murder?
No, hit.
Not an assassination, though?
No, hit.
Who were they trying to murder and did they do it?
They got found out mid-flow. That's the second time I've said mid-flow today.
I wish you'd stop doing that.
So is an assassination someone that kills someone on the instructions of others as opposed to under their own steam?
All right. No, okay. Well, then Mark Chapman... Who assassinated John Lennon? That is referred to as an assassination.
I'm not sure about that. I think he was murdered.
Guys, you can't just change the rules.
No, but the fact that somebody in the media referred to it as an assassination doesn't make it a definitive assassination, does it?
Hang on a minute. So, because it's called an assassination, but it doesn't fit your rather, let's be honest, Martin, flimsy...
Well,
boundaries, you're not citing it as an assassination.
You're being unfair. I think, you know, the media often abuse the English language. You know, stupid things like rushing people to hospital and up close and personal. These things mean nothing.
No,
anyway, assassination has got to be political. Like Indira Gandhi, assassination.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Well, we know that. Yeah, exactly. Right. So
John F. Kennedy.
Well, you think that was a murder? Of course, that was an assassination.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There is a film
for political reasons.
There is a film called The Assassination of John Lennon. There's a movie called it. So. That's
right.
What it's referred
to. That's the criterion, then.
I don't understand why... Just because something doesn't fit into your obviously incorrect framework, you're now going, oh, it can't be that, then. Those guys have got that wrong.
Well, no, I haven't got a preconceived framework. I'm just making a suggestion.
Yeah, exactly, and Kath's being a bit...
What you're now trying to do is be provocative and...
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Tease me into an argument.
Yeah, what he's trying to start on us both.
I'm not trying to anyone into an argument. I'm trying to work out... Well, it's an assassination murder, so that when I kill you, Martin, I know exactly what crime I've committed.
I witnessed that, Martin, so I'll know who done it.
Yeah, I did it.
Oh dear. Okay.
Thanks for calling, man.
Love you.
I love you too, man. I enjoyed that. Thank you. 08444991000. Hey, it's the cabbie from Scotland. It's Rocky.
Pip, how you doing? I thought I'd better give you a wee phone.
Pip, Rocky, how's it going in Edinburgh?
He's got even more Scottish.
What, I missed yous last week.
I missed yous. it was nice to meet you the other week in Edinburgh, Rocky, and thank you for letting us travel in your car.
Which was pristine, apart from a big kiss mark on the window.
Yeah, that's true. There was a big kiss mark on the window.
The taxi driver, discretion is my middle name. Right. If you want to start telling stories about what happens in taxis, I'll tell the listeners what you got up to, Ian.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, listen, I didn't have enough money and to pay you, but I thought I still wanted to give you a tip.
No, it was when you were talking about the gold medalist. I'm saying, who wants to sleep with a silver medalist?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, come on, who wants to come second, eh?
Yeah.
Oi. Right, listen, just a wee quickie. I'm finishing up now, and I'm getting myself home, and I'm going to jump onto the 5 on demand, because I want to watch the programme from Saturday. So, what should I be skipping past? What was crap and what was decent?
You don't want to watch it. Listen, it was a fun show, and I thoroughly enjoyed doing it. But it's not for everyone. I don't know if you'd enjoy it, Rocky, but you're very kind. But
I'm sure I will. No, I'm genuinely interested. I'll let you see you doing well. I'll let you see you getting on.
Well,
by the way, listen, the real reason I phoned tonight, I had a shook hands with who someone I would describe as an actual legend tonight.
Oh.
Right? I'll give you clues, right? Boy was up for the festival. Yeah. He was only doing 2 shows.
Limmy.
Must be... No. I saw Limmy the other night. He's playing at the International Conference.
Yeah, I love Limmy.
Big venue. Yeah. I'm warming to Limmy, by the way. I'm warming to Limmy. He's a good lad. Tonight, right, this guy, as I say, I'll give you a clue. You tell me if you know who it is. I'm talking, he must be late 80s. Must be. Mid to late 80s. Right?
Nicholas Parsons?
No, but I'll tell you what, I spoke about him. I've had Nicholas Parsons in the taxi the past
Did you threaten to kill him?
Year on the bounce for the festival.
Yeah, okay.
And the first year it was like, oh, there's Nicholas Parsons. And then by last year you're thinking, there's Nicholas Parsons. Right? the guy in question tonight, I think, and this is without Wikipedia, I think he started... writing for The Goon Show.
This sounds like the beginning of Stars in Their Eyes.
Yes.
Barry Cryer.
Whoa, boom, straight in there
after 3.
I was delighted when he got in the cab. And I told him that. I see, there's no many people that I'm genuinely happy
that
to see.
But kill.
Listen, I know. There's, well, I'll tell you what, have you met Barry Cryer?
No, I have not met Barry Cryer.
So you win, Rocky. You win.
Well, if the game is have you met Barry Cryer, then you win.
I'm trying to listen to the cabbie sweetheart. Sorry, what were you saying?
I'm saying you win, Rocky, because you win that game.
Cabbie sweetheart.
Thank you very much.
We know what that means.
Very much. But anyway, just a wee quickie. I'm just phoning to say I'm delighted that he's back. And honestly, listening to Ed,
last week. Did you hear any of the best of shows?
Oh no, I'm not going to listen to the best of.
I didn't even make this lot, so
I had early nights, and I listened to a bit of the other place. And I think I was watching telly and stuff as well.
Well, I heard you saying earlier on that you had a couple of days when you were just in despair. Yeah. Listen, I've told you before, Ian, you've got my phone number. Yeah. Give me a bell anytime, mate, if you just want to chew the fat.
Bless you, Rocky. You're a very kind man, and it was a real pleasure to meet you.
Big in too. All right.
Thanks for looking after us. Cheers, man.
Cheers, bye-bye. Guys. See you later.
We've not really talked about Edinburgh, because it seems like... Thank you, Rocky. It seemed like such a long time ago, and we've not spoken about it since we've been there. We've got a couple of minutes, so we might as well. It was a joy and a delight, and we met Rocky. And he offered us free rides everywhere until he turned the meter on. That's true. And we went to Sarah Sophie's house and did the show from
it was
there.
Brilliant. We took booze and Pringles and...
But then we couldn't eat. I took noisy food. Yeah, and of course, you can't eat noisy food. And I was really hungry and I wanted those Pringles and dip. And we couldn't eat it, of course.
I didn't have any of it.
No, I know. You and Sarah Sophie could have done. It was great. And we saw some really good shows in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. We chose well, because I was doing
the spectrum.
We did. We had pretty much every thing. Because I was doing a couple of shows up there, which you'll be able to listen to at a later date. What was the first one we went and saw?
It was Oh Hello.
Oh, yeah.
The Charles Hawtrey story. Yeah. Flipping heck, that was bleak.
It was bleak.
Some of them went in there expecting it to be, you know, Carry On Panto style.
Yeah.
And at one point, well, very early on, a woman sort of almost broke the moment, didn't she, by trying to get involved.
Yeah.
But gosh, that was a dark
It was
play.
Bleak. And it was because in Edinburgh, we'll talk about this more tomorrow because we're running out of time, but in Edinburgh, every room is turned into a venue. Let's say at midday... There were, I think, 156 shows on at midday, because since we saw that, we saw the brilliant Adam Hess, who's my favourite stand-up.
So funny.
Go and see Adam Hess if you can. He's bringing the show down to London as well. So we'll get him on. There we go. We'll get Adam Hess on when he's doing the shows in London. And then we saw a load of Korean magicians.
Snap, that show was called.
It was good. A lot of Korean magic involves not-so-hidden wires.
And the Glitter Boy was a particular highlight.
Oh, the Glitter Boy! But it was a cracking show. Thoroughly enjoyed it. We'll talk more about Edinburgh tomorrow, because it's still going on.
We haven't even touched on the Broken Dreams yet, and there were plenty of those.
Right, that's it. That's your lot. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Catherine. I'm warming up. We'll get back up to speed by Thursday of next week. That's it, that's your lot. Don't forget, you can download the podcast. You go to iTunes or your usual podcast provider and type in Ian Lee Talk. It pops up. Back tomorrow. Ta-ta.
Talk radio. Listen. Phone. Talk.
Talk radio.
We'll get you talking.